What's poppin'? Here comes the weekend, 3-day weekend with the MLK Jr. No, I will not say his full name. And some great football games on Sunday. Oh, my. Green Bay at San Francisco, +7.5. If you're heading to my bookie.
Yeah, Green Bay is getting 7.5.
And San Francisco is +7.5 hosting the Titans.
Wait.
And
no. They're -7.5.
-7.5. I'm sorry. They're favored by 7.5. Hosting the Titans. And San Francisco's favored by 7.5. And Brandon is going to jump in right quick here with his lock of the week. Hang on just 1 second, because I will mention that Facebook Live is brought to you by Lover's Lane, with 3 ways to shop for all your sex essentials, 35 store locations, loverslane.com or the all-new sexdrive.com. Sexdrive.com features high-quality sex toys, vibrators, fun, exciting couples toys, ooh-ah, and the most erotic apparel anywhere. Try something new in the bedroom. Celebrate the new year. Check out sexdrive.com, powered by Lover's Lane. And if no other reason, see all the hot, regular women on that site. I have something about regular women that you would never know otherwise.
The girl next door.
Yeah, something like that.
Hey, they have dude stuff, too. I was surprised to see.
Yeah, whatever.
We've covered that.
Okay.
Well, honestly, because you looked at it, what would you want a dude to wear, Trudy, on there? I mean, to each his own. I'm not judging. I'm just curious.
Yeah, do you like you? Dudes in lingerie?
And do you like the assless
shorts? If you like
shorts?
The banana hammocks, that's fine. We're not going to judge you.
That's right. You know.
Yeah, yeah. I think a good banana hammock is always attractive.
Hmm. There's dude stuff. No, I'm glad you pointed out, because we have a lot of dudes listening. Some of them probably like that stuff.
Yeah.
Or their girlfriends
Spider
like it.
2Y banana.
I kind of feel like it should be more worn as a joke, and then you can laugh at it, and then it's
joke.
Fun.
Every guy likes to get his junk laughed at.
Yeah, no penis is ever a joke.
No, the lingerie part. Not their. Yeah.
No penis is ever penis a joke.
Never. Brandon, your lock of the week.
This one's easy for me.
It's a lock of the week. Cha-ching!
Kansas City Chiefs, they will destroy the Tennessee Titans. They're on this Cinderella run. Ryan Tannehill has like 25 yards passing in the last 2 weeks. Their luck's going to run out. No one wants to see the Titans in the Super Bowl anyway. Give me Patrick Mahomes.
Will they stop Derrick Henry?
Oh, yeah. Derrick Henry, to me, this is crazy, because Derrick Henry, he's on a tear right now. And
well,
he's huge.
Back.
He's like 7'4", 390 pounds. He's fast. But he hasn't been that good in his career. He really hasn't. Just the last few weeks.
What a young career.
No, wait,
didn't he leave the league in rushing?
He had a great year this year.
I know he did. I know he had a good year. He led the league in rushing, but I just don't think that he was that good. I mean, I can tell you right now, he was drafted in like the 4th round of every single fantasy draft.
Mark,
bulletin this, board material.
Just mark this portion and send this.
I'm not going to mark it. He's going to be right.
Tennessee Titans offensive line. No, I think Kansas City's going to win. I do like that. I like your lock of the week.
Thank you.
And last week, oh my God, the lock sound should be so loud on last week's lock of the week. That was huge.
Appreciate it.
You're welcome. So here we go into the weekend, and I wanted to mention that, of course, with the holiday, we come back on Monday. And Monday, Dan Wetzel, the executive producer of the Aaron Hernandez docuseries on Netflix, will be in studio.
Wow.
It's very cool.
How cool is that?
He's a great guest.
He lives here.
Hot.
I am.
How is he here a lot, Mark? Do you know?
I think he travels a lot for work, but I mean, as far as I know, this is his only home. But now again, then again, he's a executive producer of a pretty successful documentary.
I don't think he did that here. But anyway, that story is just, I'm telling you, check it out this weekend if you get a chance, if you're inclined to like these sorts of things. He also was at the trial for Cleveland, what's his name? The tight end.
Cleveland?
His junior.
Oh, you're talking about Kellen.
Yeah, Kellen Winslow Jr. I couldn't think of that. And I thought that was, that one had an ending I wasn't crazy about. I thought that guy should have been put away for a long time.
Yep.
And he plead down. And Kellen Winslow Sr. was insisting the judge not look at him because he was so angry.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell your kid not to look at you, Winslow, you big faker.
Fake phony, yeah.
God, how many times do you have to pick him up and walk him back into
the
courtroom? Big baby.
You're a phony.
That really pissed me off. And I know it's his son. And then also, Dan, has he been working on an Avenetti?
Yes.
Okay, see, what kind of book do you know? Or?
Oh, I don't know about that.
He just knows a lot about
it. I know he spent some time with him, with Michael Avenatti.
Oh,
cool. I know.
How odious that must have been.
Trudy, I can't imagine. For a female, especially.
Yes.
Ugh.
Great lawyer.
God. Mm.
You know, that's the weird thing about Avenatti is he does have amazing skill, it seems, to, you know, he procured all that stuff that, you know, R. Kelly and Stormy Daniels, and there were a number of other things he got mixed up in where it's like, wow, he really does kind of get things done. But the accusations, which look like they carry a lot of water, this guy has been running some major scamola with some horrible cases. One where a guy's a paraplegic, and he claimed that, I'm going to loan you money because they haven't made the settlement payment yet. This guy was supposed to get $4 million. And so he said, I'm going to loan you $20,000 to tide you over for a while. Meanwhile, he has the check. He's cashed it. He's he's robbing Pete to pay Paul or, you know, whatever.
Pete.
Yeah, pay Pete.
St. Pete.
And then not to mention the fact that the alleged assault on his girlfriend and just a lot. I'm really interested to talk to Dan Wetzel.
And he's in jail now, too.
What's that?
Bond violation.
Yeah, Wetzel tweeted
this out.
Oh,
is he in jail?
Oh, his pretrial release terms he violated.
Yeah. Where is he? I want to talk to him.
I'm surprised that hasn't gotten more coverage. I only knew about it because Dan tweeted it out and tweeted out the court paper.
Is he in? He's in jail right now?
Or this court document.
Hi, dude, Dan.
Michael Avenatti has been arrested for violating terms of his pretrial release. It's unclear what those terms were. Was set to begin trial on extorting Nike next week in New York City.
And he is in jail.
That's what he's.
Was a day ago. Yeah, he.
Okay.
He bonded out.
He just seems like. Oh, he did bond out.
He's jailed without bond, so I guess he can't.
Oh, good.
Bond
okay,
out.
Great.
Yeah, he's in jail.
That's all
then.
I wanted to know because this is a guy I can't imagine in jail. So that makes me very happy.
It's true.
Wherever he is, there's probably if he's in jail, there's no cameras recording him. There's probably.
Oh no, no doubt about that.
He's going to commit suicide.
Yeah, no one's keeping any track of him or any special track of him.
Oh, you know what I bet he's doing though? He is bonding with all of the different prisoners, future customers.
Business. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's that kind of guy.
Yeah, telling him, I'll get you off, totally.
And, you know, while plugging Dan Wetzel for Monday, and we'll be on Facebook Live with Dan, unless he has a problem with it, which I don't think he will. He's all over this Hernandez documentary. Also this weekend, there is a 2020, which airs tonight, is in Friday night, on this bizarre case. And, you know, I remember it because it's a child actor who committed the crime who was a Power Ranger.
Weird.
And his career went way south like many child actors. And they said that he really wasn't a good actor. He just got this Power Ranger gig and apparently, you know,
none of the Power Rangers were great actors.
Yeah.
Most child actors aren't.
There's some brilliant child actors.
The Pink Ranger went on to have a decent movie career, but aside from that, the original Pink Ranger.
Wait, you keep track of the Rangers by color, even, Brandon?
That's how they are identified.
What was her name? Amy Jo Scott or something like that?
How are the Teletubbies doing, by the way? Are you keeping up with them?
No.
Zoof's like the Green Power Ranger, I think, right? Didn't you?
Tommy,
yeah.
Zoof doesn't seem as excited about the Green Ranger as you are, Trudy.
He was pretty good at karate.
associated.
And in real life, he became an MMA fighter.
Zoof, that's your mom's job, is to humiliate you from time to time. any comment on the Green Ranger?
No, I was really more into the Pink Ranger.
Oh, no.
We didn't have any Pink Ranger. We had the.
Trudy beat that out of him. You do not like the Pink Ranger.
Thank you so much, my name.
Aaron Hernandez is his dad.
Yes. Okay. There's some amazing drops in that thing. So, anyway, this former Power Ranger. Oh, and let me just say this: Did we ever look at? I hope we did. Evan and his friends went to Lollapalooza as the Power Rangers. And their picture was in Spin Magazine.
Oh, cool.
Online. Wow. And somewhere, I know I got a picture of Evan as a Power Ranger as a kid and then with the group as adults. It's a really funny picture. Maybe it should be the show picture today.
All right.
We were talking about using little Maddie, who has conjunctivitis.
Oh, gosh.
She has what?
That's the fancy word for it.
Oh, yeah. She has pink eye. It's gross. It's disgusting. Here, I'll show the.
So you're grossed out by your own child?
Yeah.
Stop farting on her pillow.
Yeah, you see that?
Oh, poor thing.
Look at that eyeball.
She looks, gross. She looks rough.
Oh, no. She was actually really happy, but that eye was disgusting. It was gross. There was green stuff coming out. There was yellow stuff oozing out.
That green
there.
Thing.
I had to take her to the doctor today. Thank you, Mark, for covering No Filter.
No problem.
And yeah, we got her some eye drops. She's good to go. But
yeah, pink eye's really nothing.
No, it's not a big deal. It is contagious, though,
highly,
isn't it?
Highly contagious, so they can't go to school or daycare.
Yeah, daycare wouldn't let me take her in there.
Isn't that?
They charged me for the day.
Isn't where you like scratch your butt?
They charge
and then,
you anyway.
Yeah, I pay a flat rate. So when I can't take her in.
What is the flat rate, if you don't mind me asking?
It's a lot.
Sounds like he minds you asking.
Wow.
It's over $15,000 a year.
God. That's unbelievable.
So how many days is that? Someone do the math. I'm not very good.
It's for 4 days a week, and then she's there had like 2 half days a week. So,
how do people do that?
It's tough. It's not an easy.
I really don't know. And then, do you get a discount if you let's say you have another baby and you put the same child in with Maddie? Would you get a discount for the second one?
I think so. I don't know. I don't have another kid yet.
Ooh, yet?
Evan and Alyssa are paying some insane amount of money.
Oh, I'm sure they pay way more since they're
in
Chicago. Yeah.
$30,000 a year.
The closer you get to like the inner city, I believe, the more expensive they all get.
And honestly,
why don't you just send her a cheap one?
I don't know.
I'm sure you get what you pay for.
No, she's at a fantastic one right now, and she loves every single one of her, like the teachers. They're great with her. She emulates them. She loves coming home and then taking her baby dolls and feeding them, turning around, burping them, putting blankets on them.
But
so
didn't one of those lovely friends of hers give her pink eye?
Yeah, probably one of those.
Yeah, turds. See?
It's a disease factor.
And then they're like, get your baby out of here.
Well, yeah,
you should just send them your doctor bill. Sure, because they caused it.
You know, what's so twisted about it is with Evan and Alyssa paying $30,000 a year for Brooke. You know, I was like, well, you know, another baby coming in? And it's like, no, not another $30,000 a year. And I was like, well, wouldn't it be a discount for two or something? No, there is no discount for a second one. That was my understanding. So, I mean, you've got to have all
that. I want my baby.
I mean, some people don't really plan kids terribly well, but I mean, they really have to have their act together.
You got to space them out 5 years because then the one kid's in school.
We had a baby, eats a boy.
Yeah, most people don't plan that terribly well. But anyway, I was getting at the 2020 for tonight. And this story about the Power Ranger, which I'll tell you in just a second, is one of the wildest true crime stories. I can't believe I haven't seen a story on it. I don't think I have, though. But first, let me remind you that Northwestern Tech is our newest advertiser. As people decide, you know what, I want a skilled trade, I'm going nowhere, this isn't working out, you know, I got a little school or I got a liberal arts degree and it just doesn't seem to happen, I got to have something I can count on. Well, HVAC school, is first of all, it's all they teach at Northwestern Tech. It's 10 and a half months. You can work while you do it. Boy, it sounds like a grind, doesn't it? But this is what people have to do sometimes. You go to school 4 days, 4 hours, and you can go virtually any time of day, which can match well with your job, hopefully. And it's only 10 and a half months. The good news is not
just doing some work here.
Over 90% of the graduates get jobs in the HVAC field. And while, you know, starting out, many of them actually get jobs while they're still in the program.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like you intern right into something.
We mentioned, too, they said if you go there and then you go get your career, you know, you're done. And they want you to focus. Let's say your employer wants you to focus on something. You can go back and redo a course. Get updated.
Oh, right.
He did
free,
say that.
Forever.
For free.
For eternity.
Yeah, which is really cool. So you can freshen up.
Over 50% of the training is hands-on. Over 90% got jobs. And within a year, most people are making between $40,000 and $50,000. This is why this is so successful. They do really well at Northwestern Tech. This is
so
a big.
What do you do for a living?
This is a big success story. That reminded me.
You might have a good answer when someone says, "What do you do for a living?"
So what do you do for a living?
On Facebook Live, there was a string on favorite drop on our show.
Oh, really?
Okay. And somebody selected, I play tennis, but I do not do well in it. I'm not good in it.
I like play tennis, but I'm not good in it.
I don't know what that has to do with Northwestern Tech. But if you or somebody knows trying to choose a career path and you're looking to get out of your dead-end job, learn a skilled trade, check out Northwestern Tech, northwesterntech.edu. The next class starts January the 27th, so it's time to sign up. If you want to bang, you're ready to go.
Great.
It's the HVAC school that works, northwesterntech.edu, January 27th for the next round. And there'll be another one shortly after. Northwestern Tech. Edu.
I'm in this industry since January 2000.
Pell grants, student grants, GI Bill, all that stuff.
Oh, interesting.
So this Power Ranger.
Which, by the way, you asked us if any of us had heard of that story, and Brandon and I were like, yeah, we remember some true crime with a Power Ranger. It turns out we were thinking of a different murder committed by a former Power Ranger where he stabbed his roommate with a big sword.
Yeah, there was the Red Ranger. It was not the first series, but it was like the second or third inclination.
What's your memory for the color of the Ranger?
It was one of the Red Rangers, and I've listened to podcasts about it.
Did you know Zuv's like the green one?
Yeah, and the pink one. However,
well, Jeff, no, before Trudy beat that out of him.
I can't really recall the story, but yes, somehow or another, he stabbed, sliced somebody up with a ninja sword, and I don't know if he killed him. I got to look it up because I completely forgot.
Wow. I'm not sure what just happened.
And that green thing today was enough.
Okay, so this guy was a Power Ranger. He turns into a real load. Seriously, he tried to get jobs. He said he couldn't remember his lines. He thought he was going to live off being a Power Ranger. Off being the whatever color. I don't know. Maybe he was a green one, so he was extra cocky. I don't know.
So but, what do you do for a living?
I'm a Power Ranger.
Well, the green one turned into the white one, so.
Really?
Yes.
Joe, what did you think when the green one turned into the white one?
It kind of blew my mind, I guess.
He became the leader. He stole the leadership from the Red Ranger.
Did you like him white as much as you did green?
No, it really kind of lost me there, you know?
Okay. Yeah. I don't see color, so
I think that's confusing.
Yeah. I would never watch the Power Rangers.
Anyway, this guy...
Racist Power Rangers.
Kill Whitey! Turns into a B&E guy. He starts robbing people left and right, goes to prison. He meets this guy in prison, and somehow they end up down in Mexico, and he's got some investment scam. And again, this is why, boy, I got a lot of compliments on my great ideas, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to read some more.
And one of them, yeah, I'm going to go up and get it in a minute. One of them was no doors and no phones for elderly people.
Yeah, right, yeah.
And I had quite a bit of feedback on that, people saying, wow, if my grandparents didn't have doors or phones, you know, it would have saved them because they got ripped off or whatever.
Yeah.
That's a lot to think about. Just a lot of food for thought. A lot of brain food in that list.
Like, the same company came to my dad's house twice and paved his driveway. He didn't have a door.
What?
That never would have happened.
Isn't that brutal?
What assholes.
I know. I hate those totally people. Were. So the only hard part about it was I felt like I was so brilliant back then. What I am getting old and boring, like people say. I'm falling apart. I'm not the same man. I got to rise up somehow.
You peaked too early.
I may have. I'm trying, damn it. So, okay, so anyway, this guy gives him $50,000. And
son of a goddamn.
Naturally, he starts spending it willy-nilly on whatever the fuck he wanted to spend it on. And this guy sort of confronts him on it, and he slits his throat, kills him. So there's murder number one.
What else are you going to do?
You ain't much choice. Then he decides that he wants to, quote-unquote, buy this yacht from this couple who are getting ready to retire. This is the part that just sucks. This guy's 57. She's 47. They both looked very healthy, tan, you know, good-looking people. They got a lot of life ahead. They're so excited for retirement, and they just need to sell this yacht to help finance their future.
Yeah, like what you see, huh?
do you know what the name of the yacht is?
What is it?
Well-deserved.
Oh, please. Geez. Whatever.
Not saying they should be murdered for it, but
well, it didn't do them much good when somebody who did not well deserve it came along and said,
"Hey, I think you're going to need a bigger boat.
I want to go on a ride. I want to go out in your yacht and potentially buy it." And he brings his quote unquote wife and his child. I think there was a baby and a young child.
Yeah,
and also brings two friends who it turns out are the muscle, and they, of course, tie them up after they overpower them.
Fun fact, one of his friends' names is John Fitzgerald Kennedy.
I know, isn't that weird? What, that just throws a wrench in the story. I mean, really some people does. Just get stuck at that part, like, oh my God. And I tend to not be that fascinated, but it's like, well, this is just a wild coincidence.
And you know, all his friends called him JFK, and he hated it, which is why he became a murderer.
He may have dug it. You never know. Anyway, they overpower him. Then they get them to sign all their assets over, which is like, well, do you really think that's going to work? You know, when their kids who get everything realize it. Oh, they signed everything over to that fucking Power Ranger. That's pretty weird. I didn't know Dad was that into it.
A huge fan, yeah.
I thought Dad.
Breaking news with Mort Krim.
Really thought Dad liked the green one. Weird.
It turns out he actually was not an actual Power Ranger. He was an extra on the Power Rangers.
What?
Yes. He's a little turd.
What?
That's even worse.
Yep, when he was 14 years old.
So he's
old.
Impersonating a non-alternate Power Ranger? He didn't even have an assigned color?
When he was 14, he was an uncredited extra in the episode Second Chance, which was probably one
episode?
One where Tommy and Jason fight for supremacy of the... I'm retarded.
Well, now I feel
What colors are Tom and Johnny?
Jason's red. He used to be my favorite, but then he got usurped by the Green Ranger, who turned into the White Ranger. His name is Tommy.
Wow!
Now I feel bad for the Power Rangers for being pulled into this true crime story.
It's bullshit. This is the thinnest connection to fame I've ever heard of. I'm serious. He was an alternate Power Ranger who was on one episode, uncredited, mind you.
Yeah.
Oh my God!
He was just like a student. He played a student. He wasn't even a Power Ranger.
So
don't give him that title. He doesn't deserve it.
Anyway, he signs over the assets, and then they tie him to the anchor. They throw him overboard. They drown. They get ashore, and of course, they just tie it up like, it's crazy. And, you know, within a couple days, where are my parents? Where are these wonderful people who are getting ready to retire? And they find out that they're missing. And, what do you know? The Power Ranger owns everything of theirs. It's crazy. And, of course, they... Anyway, 2020 will cover the whole story. It sounds like a wild story, but what's the breaking news?
I think, Brandon, that was the breaking news.
The breaking news is he's not a Power Ranger.
Oh!
and I'm very offended.
Serve the integrity of the Power Rangers.
I was hurrying through the story to get to the breaking news.
Well, I apologize for that. I just thought that we needed to kind of interrupt because he's not allowed to have that title. He is undeserving of the role of a Power Ranger.
No, I couldn't agree with you more.
Except for Ricardo Medina Jr., who was also a Red Ranger, and he did kill somebody. So
technically, I think that was breaking news, and so I'm gonna say you did the right thing. this is funny. This news really wasn't that big today. I mean, it was, but it wasn't. Like, they even interrupted the Rachel Ray show, and apparently Rachel Ray viewers were complaining because they interrupted to show show the senator signing the impeachment.
Because they
book.
Never rerun Rachel Ray episodes.
Well, when Reagan was shot, General Hospital people complained vociferously that they broke in on General Hospital. That was back in 81.
Yeah, but there was no internet there. There was no on-demand. I mean, Rachel Ray.
Yeah. No, you make a great point.
Who cares? And secondly, you could see it anyway, whenever you want.
Well, I'm not trying to make a statement on the impeachment being important or not being important. Of course, it's a huge thing. It's an impeachment. But, you know, honestly, as I'm looking at it, I'm going... Signing the book, do I really need to see them sign the impeachment book or whatever?
You need to fill out these documents.
That pen stunt.
I know. How stupid.
Why would you do that?
It's still news, but there was bigger news today because I thought the Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders awesome. Audio from the debate was pretty damn funny. In fact, why don't you play GMA at 7-Eleven this morning? Because they go back to the previous, I think it was, maybe it was... Maybe it was the debate the other night, or maybe it was the previous one where Elizabeth Warren, this is so annoying. I don't know if it's like, is it the male in me that got offended? But she says, the candidates, combined, the men have lost 10 elections. The only people up here who've never lost an election are me and Amy.
Who, Pocahontas?
Didn't you want someone to go, what about our last big election, how'd our women do?
Well,
meaning Hillary.
No, the whole thing is ridiculous. Bernie Sanders, I'll say this for him. I wouldn't vote for him. He's not my, I don't agree with him politically, but he is a sincere, progressive, liberal person.
And she's very a liar. Sincere.
Crazy Bernie.
And I, you know, on balance, I like the guy. I think he's a good guy. He seems like a liar. Good guy. And yeah, she's a liar. She's a proven liar. Yeah. I mean, Pocahontas, kind of come back to that. And then she brings it up over a year later. Why did she bring it up? That he said a woman couldn't win in 2018. I'm so mad he said this a year and a half later. She never said a word. She's just shit-stirring. So anyway, Bernie, after the debate, goes to shake her hand and was
as reported.
She rebuffed him. And we have the audio, which...
Is Strahan doing the story?
Overnight, CNN releasing post-debate audio between Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders right after the tense moment she refused to shake his outstretched hand.
I think you called me a liar on national TV.
Let's not do it right now. You want to have that discussion? We'll have that discussion. You called me. All right, let's not do it now.
The tense exchange came after the...
The best part of that by far is Tom Steyer, who just wants to get involved.
Butting in.
What did he said something to them.
They're just trading blows about a 2018 conversation in which Warren claims Sanders said a woman could not win the election, a claim Sanders denied during the debate.
Well, as a matter of fact, I didn't say it. Anybody knows me knows that it's incomprehensible that I would think that a woman could not be president of the United States.
Warren not backing down.
I think the best way to talk about who can win is by looking at people's winning record. So, can a woman beat Donald Trump? Look at the men on this stage. Collectively, they have lost 10 elections.
So far, they haven't been able to beat them.
The only people on this stage who have won every single election that they've been in are the women, Amy and me.
Ooh! Their argument was seen live on air, but without sound.
Okay. CNN says they pulled the audio
from backup recordings of wireless microphones and released the clip 24 hours later. The onstage confrontation inadvertently broken up by fellow candidate Tom Steyer.
I don't want to get in the middle, but I just want to say hi, Bernie.
Yeah, good.
It's a treat.
Okay.
Yeah, Bernie, we're glad you did that.
Sanders' wife, Jane, was subsequently asked about the comments leading up to this tense moment, and she told the Associated Press that sometimes people misremember things. She went on to say that she's not attacking Elizabeth Warren, but she knows that the comment about a woman not being able to win is nothing that her husband would ever say. But Tom Steyer, boy, he said now that he couldn't wait to get out of the way.
First of all, if I have to choose sides, I believe him. I don't believe he would say that. He is as progressive a guy. I mean, he believes in all those things. I just don't believe you. If I have to pick a side, I mean, I wasn't there. Who knows? But this doesn't help either one of them. Aren't they just eating their own?
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
And by the way, a nice inclusive debate there with all those white candidates.
That's what Donald Trump Jr. said.
It's funny how DTJ jumps in there after all the shit they've taken. People of color up there. I mean, as if that would really be something he'd be worried about. So, yeah, that was interesting. And then, let's see. Oh, the other
Everything
news.
Everything this woman says is a lie.
Wasn't that thing about winning election? Women.
I know, but
did you find that annoying, Trudy?
I did.
Or were you going, yeah?
No, because I feel when they're divisive, I mean, they need to all kind of work together to cobble a victory out of this.
I can't think
I
of one.
I don't take no orders from no woman,
if
by
nothing
the way.
Else?
But she said right after beating Trump, which Trump beat a woman.
Right.
But she had 65 million votes. It's obvious a woman can win. A black man was president. Sure. I think a woman can win. A woman should have won. She ran a shit campaign. I'm not saying she should have.
She didn't win then, but yeah.
No, she didn't win, but she had 65 million votes. So I wondered, this is really dumb. I'll show this. I don't want to spend 20 minutes on this, but if Bernie Sanders, if this were the case, and he had said,
hey, the two women on stage have lost 10 elections. The two men up here have never lost an election. Ooh!
Would that have been seen as picking on the women?
Yes.
That's kind of what I thought.
Yes.
Did he say any woman can't win? Or did he sort of, if it's possible that he said anything near that, was it...
can't win?
This group of people, yeah.
Well, I think I would agree with him. That's immediately what I wondered was he meant you couldn't win.
Yeah, she can't. By
You're
way.
Insufferable. Well, she's annoying.
Would all this be happening if I had been elected president?
She can't win.
The fake beer thing and the fake genealogy thing. She's... I understand.
As of right now, because of that comment, I will not vote for Elizabeth Warren for that annoying comment.
I'm going to get me a beer.
Which means nothing in the scheme of things, but still, I will not vote for it. I'm being like the juror.
You're canceling out John Legend's vote.
Oh, yeah, I am. You're right. I'm being like the woman who was so angry because the juror pointed at her, or the witness pointed at her. Who was she?
It was Michael Jackson.
Oh, yeah, that's
she
right.
She was so angry.
No. Yeah, it was the kid's mom.
Yeah, and she pointed at...
Did she point or snap? Well, whatever.
I thought she pointed at the jury for some reason, and she said, when she pointed her finger at us, that was when I decided not guilty.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm putting myself in her category for saying I will not vote for Zipporn unless something changes, and it may, she may, some, everyone else may say something stupid, and I'll go back to her.
Okay. Well,
not that I was ever with her in the first place.
If you replay any of that video, and I think the thing that's lost is that she shoves Joe Biden out of the way in order to get to Bernie so she can accuse him of, accusing him of lying.
The last poll I saw, Joe Biden was ahead, and they had had a poll about 3 days earlier that said Joe Biden was in third place, and then this new poll came out, and I think it was a Connecticut, it was a paper up there. Anyway, it was a big poll, and it said Biden was at 24, Sanders, I think, was second with 18, and then Budge was 17, I think Elizabeth Warren was 15.
Budge.
I think that's just for Iowa, I believe.
Because
he boot edge edge does better for the caucus hanging out all over town. Does better for the Iowa caucus than he does nationally.
There's a Michigan poll that says the best Democrat who has the best chance to beat Donald Trump in Michigan is Bloomberg. And I think it was 49 to 42. He was second in the other poll we talked about. I don't think it was Michigan, though.
You know,
Biden was like 47, 41, and they all beat Trump. I mean, it wasn't a big distance.
I'm starting to think that since they are eating themselves alive, starting with 20 candidates and just ripping on each other and no one can get behind somebody.
Only keeping the white people around?
That maybe Bloomberg does come out of nowhere, especially with all the money he's spending. And by the time we start getting the debates that he can be in, he might just turn out to be the front runner.
He's done pretty well.
And then ultimately that election will be, all right, you got two billionaires, and which one's worse? And they'll fight over that.
Well, continuing the conversation about dumb things, today there was an arrest warrant for OBJ, Odell Beckham Jr., in Louisiana because he slapped a officer on the ass in the locker room. This is after handing out cash to players on the field. That's being investigated, too. What's that?
Slap.
Oh, is it a slap? Oh, is that the actual slap?
Yeah, we have audio from it.
You know, why don't you...
I have the audio. Here's the video that was released.
Great ass!
Can we look at the actual video? Because it was on Twitter today.
Yeah. And now, remember when you...
He really slapped him, though.
Remember when you mentioned this, the question was, well, what was... How playful was this or wasn't this? Not playful at all.
No. And I really hate seeing police disrespected like this. I will say this too.
He's a security guard, by the way.
Oh, he is?
He looks like a cop.
Yeah.
He works for the building, I think. Yeah, that was a point that some of the OBJ supporters were saying was, he's not a real cop.
He's really taking his job serious.
I think that they thought he was a cop. I don't think the reason he slapped him was because he was a security guard.
But I think he was. Not that it matters, because you and I were talking about this before, and I really think he wasn't trying to demean him, or I don't think there was much malice involved, but you still just don't do that.
I don't know what he was thinking. I'm not even going to project. All I know is it was extremely disrespectful, and to see cops vilified and disrespected the way they are, and Antonio Brown's videos, those were horrible. Those were just terrible. And people were saying today, who was I watching? Oh, Stephen A. was saying that they could have arrested him.
Yeah, yeah.
And they chose not to. And they really just sort of ate their humble pie and got away. But, interesting, Drew Rosenhaus dropped AB as a client.
Yeah, that had to be the last straw.
I'm going to just read the straws.
Yeah, I don't know.
So we can all know how many straws he passed on until he got to the last straw. But, okay, here's the slap. People are smoking cigars, and so that's why the police came in, or the whatever he is.
He also wants to make sure they're not drinking.
Uh-oh. Well, it's college.
Uh-oh.
Oh, he really thinks that's funny, doesn't he?
The guy recording.
No, I mean, OBJ, as soon as the guy turns around, he starts laughing and... He sort of drifts back into the crowd. No. And then he gets busted when the guy turns around. But the thing about this is, if that cop had gone in there and he had laid one finger on OBJ and people thought it was going overboard or, you know, being heavy-handed, we'd never hear the end of it. But OBJ slaps him on the ass. And I actually hear people supporting OBJ saying, oh, it was funny, or it was, you know. No, it wasn't funny to the cop at all. And I don't think he was trying to be funny. He was just being a dick. And I really feel that if he apologized, if he gave a sincere apology, this thing would be nothing.
Be over, yeah.
But he hasn't done that. And so they've charged him with, they got a warrant for, is it simple assault?
Mm-hmm. You're not allowed to slap butts. We saw that dude who slapped the reporter's butt.
And
yep. He got canceled.
You know, we can be technical about what kind of a policeman he is or isn't. He looked like a cop. I mean, it seemed like he was a cop, and they were telling him they couldn't drink or smoke in the locker room. So, I don't know. I'm not a big OBJ
fan. He lost
fan.
Ownership of his body. Isn't that what that girl said, the reporter?
That's right.
Oh, really?
Hey, if it works for her, it works for this guy, too.
Oh, I forgot what a big deal. That's right.
That just disappeared fast, didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
They charged him.
Did that guy get canceled? Did he lose everything in his world?
Probably. I don't know if he lost his job. I never heard about him losing his gig, even though a lot of people put out there who he worked for, you know, trying to get him fired. But he definitely got charged, and of course he got shamed, and it was on GMA and everywhere.
But that's interesting because I don't think there's nearly the reaction or response as there was for that.
This just started, though. I mean, the video just came out.
And, you know, that one was a guy on a girl. This one's a dude on a dude.
Sure. So. That matters.
Well, will this guy be on CBS this morning?
No, because I don't
for 7 minutes
think he's
about the slap.
And he's not as cute as
no,
that
but she
girl
shouldn't
was
have been either.
No, I agree. I agree wholeheartedly.
Speaking of apologies, did you see State Senator Pete Lucido, who I was on Let It Rip with?
You were?
Yeah. I don't know if you guys
Oh, yeah. That. No, you know him really well because you guys hung out.
Way back.
Let it rip.
He apologized, but now he's saying that he didn't say that. Now he's saying he was misquoted, which why is he extending this story longer? Just couldn't have ended. Couldn't it have ended at the apology?
Because a lot of people are calling for him to resign. He doesn't.
Well, they're also calling
fighting back.
They're also calling the apology hollow and it's not enough.
Well,
and
it's too bad then. Too bad for that. I mean, he apologized. I hate it when people judge the sincerity of an apology.
I think he did say at the time though that it was he didn't say taken out of context.
Misinterpreted.
Yeah, he something
he said
like
it was
that.
He said it was taken out of context and was out and blown out of proportion, which. That's
what
that's
I heard.
Fair.
Blown out of proportion.
That's fair, but now it's
that's right. Apologize.
Now he's saying
it's a whole different thing.
This is what he said. He said, "Now we're going on the Senate floor to have some fun. You're welcome to join us."
She wouldn't have been upset.
It's a big
that
difference.
It's a huge difference.
The kids all laughed, I guess. And you know, did the kids really all laugh? You know, are they laughing because somebody put his dick on another kid's shoulder at the same time? I mean.
I just like that De La Salle put out a tweet saying that his comments do not represent De La Salle or the values we conduct and we instill in our young men. Mind you, there's kind of a case going on with De La Salle.
There
right
is?
Now, too,
I know.
So.
And isn't there one crazy of their young men who's sort of an internet troll right now?
Yes, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Jim Bentley's tweets do not represent De La Salle or the values conduct that they instill in their young men.
Hi, Jim. Thank you.
Can Jim be distracted from his internet trolling and his work at Zot Ford selling half-off F-150s to learn how to produce Eli and Denny and Bob?
Possibly? Oh, I'm sure he could.
We could have really used him.
Absolutely.
Why did I not do a good job? Jeez.
No. I just if we need somebody, and we are going to need bodies. There's just no doubt about it.
Yeah, because now that I'm up to 6 weeks vacation with the DMP, I'm planning on taking quite a bit of time off.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I think we have 6 weeks vacation for anyone. Is there anything for the Hall Financial Hotline today?
Ooh, yeah. You know who we should call?
Who?
Norman Pardo.
Norman Pardo?
Remember Norman
yeah,
Pardo?
Yeah, of course.
What juice do now?
Norman is auctioning off never-before-seen home videos of OJ. You know, he had his documentary, Who Killed Nicole, right?
Did it come out?
Now, did we ever see? I don't remember seeing it.
And this story says his recently released documentary, Who Killed Nicole.
No, is there any way of knowing if it really was released? Because I've never seen it.
Call
I can't
Norman.
Find it. I mean, that's kind of cool because you could run around saying your recently released documentary without releasing it, and who's going to know that it was not released at all?
I know. There's,
isn't that weird?
It's not like it's hard to get on a platform, though. I mean, it should be on something.
True. No, you're right. But
in the 70 hours of home footage that Norman is auctioning off, freewheeling O.J. Simpson dishes about Howard Stern, Barbara Walters, and others.
I think there's probably some really funny stuff on there that I would definitely watch. Would I pay for it? Okay. Yeah, let's call him because I want to find out how much money does he think he's going to make off this.
Well, Barrow asked OJ once if he was guilty, and he said, "You don't want to know what happened that night. Just let it go." That was his comment back to Norman.
Wow. Okay. Hall Financial, by the way, if you're paying more than 4% of your mortgage or you have lingering high interest rate credit card debt, you want to talk to Hall Financial about refinancing along with the 1,000 people who gave them 5-star reviews, saving money for years and years and years. Oh, one guy recently revealed he's saving over $25,000 and he's saving money now because they're quick. It takes, in multiple cases recently, 9 days, and they love Drew and Mike people. So call Hall Financial, 248-308-5000, or go to davidhallmortgage.com and click the link on our website, fill out the online form, and they get back to you butt fast. Hall Financial, equal housing lender, NMLS number 1467435. Let's get Pards on the phone. Pards!
Pards. Has anyone ever called him Pards?
No, I don't think so. I'm going to call him Pards, though, just to see what happens.
I give him credit. He always answers our calls, right?
Oh, by the way, somebody, Dan Evans, sent the interview with Jim Lovell, where
Commander
he is asked if he stuck his hand out the window during reentry. He also said that there was something very important we need to listen to. He said someone called. Oh, is this Norman?
Yes, it is.
Norman, it's the show of all shows, the show you love the most, the Drew and Mike Show in Detroit.
Norman. Oh. Well, I think I remember hearing from you once before.
Oh,
Norman.
Hey. Oh, shot.
You know us, Norman.
I know you are being facetious right now. You love the show. Admit it. Norman?
Norman?
Norman, Norman.
Are you mad at us?
No. Why would I be mad at you?
Are we in trouble?
You're a nice guy.
Are we interrupting something?
No, I just heard you had you were auctioning off these videos of OJ just freewheeling, which people are excited about this because I haven't seen this stuff.
Yeah, that's what I got. Remember the 70 hours where I filmed him all those years?
Can you tell us anything, some subject matter he gets into that's particularly interesting that would surprise people?
What would you like to know?
Well, okay.
Your cell phone flows.
For example, he talks about OJ, or he talks about Howard Stern, according to the piece we just read.
Yeah, he goes into Howard Stern.
What's he say about him?
Well, just explains how Howard Stern worked for him.
What?
And their history together.
I'm just saying.
I really didn't know what their history was. Was OJ, did he go in studio with Howard?
Actually, OJ Simpson was one of the directors over the top of Howard.
Not
directors of what was he director of?
I think it was whatever that network is that Howard was working for, Xfinity or whatever it was.
You mean not Sirius, not recently?
No. This was back before that.
Okay, is it possible?
That's why Howard Stern is so upset with him right now.
Howard was at WNBC in '86. Maybe it's when OJ was big stuff at NBC.
When he was during the trial, he was still just before the trial. OJ was a director of a lot of networks, radio networks.
Oh, okay, I didn't realize that. It's weird that that'd be left out of his.
XRK.
He was one of the original people for was that Radio and Records R&R.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll go with it. But anyway, so
you can
Google
it. It'll state he actually was partners with Robert Kardashian in Radio and Records.
Oh, okay.
Any idea, by the way, since you brought up Robert Kardashian, there was always this feeling that Robert Kardashian had taken away that golf bag. Do you have any thoughts on that, Norm?
I don't think he did. I mean, it doesn't really matter what he did with it.
No, I know. Just asking because it came up. Okay, well,
Robert had a lot of things he was trying to get rid of.
Yeah.
That's why the Kardashians got so mad at me when they were on their show.
I see.
Wait, when who was on what show?
Kardashians, when it was Keeping Up with the Kardashians, they went on and on and on about me.
They did? What episode?
Wow, I don't remember that. I got to see that.
Look up episode 8.
Episode 8 of first season?
Yeah. Okay. Just a couple months ago or whatever.
Brian, can you look that up? Awesome. I don't recall.
Yeah, so the current season.
Wow.
The current season, not the very first season.
Yeah, the current one, just recently.
Okay. Were you upset about that?
No.
No?
They didn't bother Mina. They're just, she was upset because that story came out about O.J. breaking her.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, about cheating on Nicole with her.
Some of the people, they probably watched my movie and they weren't very happy.
Now, Norman, the videotapes, get back to the subject at hand. If I was to put in a real a heavy bid on some of this stuff, do you think it's the kind of thing that we could break on the show and get some national news attention?
Yep.
Well, now you're laughing. Are you laughing because that's a joke?
Well, I don't know. What kind of a bid were you talking?
I don't know. What do you think they'll go for?
Well, that's the thing. I don't have a clue. When I was on CNN, they estimated them back when Nancy Grace was there at $4
million. $4
million. Some of them had an estimated at $1
million. Yeah, I was thinking more like $10,000, but I was just not really going to do it anyways.
Yeah.
But that's what I was thinking.
I did sell 3 minutes for that much, though.
Oh.
For $4 million?
No, for $10,000.
Oh.
To who?
I can't say, but it's in one of the major movies you watched. It's one of the O.J. documentaries.
Okay. Yeah. Well, like the series they had on
ESPN.
Was that ESPN?
Yeah.
Eight-part.
Yeah. I wanted to say something similar to that.
Okay.
Most everybody who's got any series out there and they got any OJ footage, it came through me. They pay around $4,000 a minute.
Has the Juice? Does he know that you're auctioning these off? Has he reached out to you? Does he want to buy it so nobody knows what he said?
Well, he ain't reached out to me.
What?
He can't really afford to buy these.
What? Isn't he entitled to a percentage of it, though? Because it's him. I mean, aren't you kind of stealing his murdering cassettes?
Did he make them or did you make them?
I edited that part out.
Oh, he edited that part out.
I see.
Now, I can't guarantee anything. When he's got his knives in his hand, I always cut those parts out.
Hey!
Why? Why would you do that?
Yeah, that'd be worth a lot of money. Are you going to give him, were you planning to give him 20% or something of the proceeds? Because it's him. I mean, seems like.
No.
No?
About 32.
No. Yeah, you got to give him at least 32%.
No, nobody. He's not going to get anything. It's not his tapes. It's his. Yes, they're him, but he worked for me, so it doesn't really matter. That was my stuff.
Well, I hope he doesn't come to steal them back from you because he gets mad.
Yeah, he likes to steal his stuff.
He's gotten mad a dozen times already. He's yelling on some of the tapes, actually. He's yelling about, I'm going to get those tapes from you.
What's he say?
He's going to get those tapes from me.
That's what he says every time?
Can you play it?
That's what he got into trouble
That's
doing.
That's where tapes come from, and these tapes are mine.
James, can you play a little piece of audio just so we get a little taste of what it is that we're going to be available or is going to be available for us to bid on?
I don't have anything on me.
Where are they?
These are the original tapes that I'm auctioning off that was done when we were out together. There's 70 original tapes. I mean, they're tapes.
If I spend $4 million to buy them, Norman, will you throw in a VCR? Do I have to go to the store and buy one of those too since nobody has one anymore?
What we were planning on doing in the auction is you get the original camera they were shot with, and you get an autographed picture of O.J. standing there with the camera.
Wow.
Wow, that increases the value by
$13.
Maybe a dollar.
Is there a half-off coupon or something with that?
Yeah. Here's a nice Groupon.
A certificate of O.J.'s centipity?
I never thought about doing a Groupon with it. That's another idea.
It's a thought. Well, Norman, anyway, you sound really excited about this. How do we, if we want to make a bid, what do we do? Because we got to run here.
Well, you just got to call me, but you need to go check out you got to put my movie that's on Amazon.
Oh, it's on Amazon. Okay.
And Vimeo. Yeah.
Okay.
Amazon has my movie. That's Who Killed Nicole. It's on Amazon.
Yeah,
I'm going to watch it. I'm serious.
I have Apple TV. I've got Netflix. I've got everything. And I thought, when it said recent released, I thought, well, is it really recently released? I can't find it.
No, it's on Amazon. We haven't really promoted it yet, but this is what we're going to start doing now.
Did you get to meet Jeff Bezos?
I can't get too close to people like that with OJ in my background.
What? He doesn't care.
Spoiler alert, how does it turn out? Just asking.
Actually, if you watch it, you're going to be quite amazed.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no, it's a really serious movie. It really is. We spent $1.1 million producing it.
Who's we?
It's not something that was just thrown together. Me and the producers.
Wow.
How much of that was yours?
Most of it.
Oh, okay. You know, it said in this one story, Norman, that you once asked OJ if he was guilty. He said, "You don't want to know what happened that night. Just let it go." Why did you let it go? Wouldn't you keep asking him?
Well, I didn't let it go. That's why this movie came out. If you watch the movie, you'll see I never let it go.
Norman, how much of your $1.1 million have you recouped via all the people watching on Amazon, of whom I know none?
No. Well, people are watching my movie.
I haven't heard talk to anybody.
What's going to happen right now is we're doing a college tour, which is just starting, which is going to really, that's where I was going to promote it.
But they won't even know OJ in the college tour. They'll go, who are you talking about?
No, they teach that. It's in their textbooks. You go to any college, forensic or criminology or any of those classes, they teach that in their books.
But are they going to know how
Juice?
Big a story it was?
It was a trial of the century.
Okay.
Most every forensic class, you know, they explain that.
Norman, you didn't really ask the original question, though. Have you recouped a lot of the $1.1 million that you sunk into this?
No.
No.
I'm just starting now.
Okay. Well, that's
tough. We just got the movie out. It hasn't been out. It was just sitting there. Because the Kardashians threatened to sue me, so everybody just sat there.
Are you sure? Can you say for sure that it's on Amazon? Are you positive?
Go to Amazon. See, he's watching it. It's on Amazon.
Okay.
Who killed Nicole?
I don't know why it's not part of Prime, but...
I don't know why I didn't believe until Mark said it.
We were going to go Prime, but we didn't yet, but they want it on Prime, so we may end up there. I don't know.
Why didn't you go Prime? Get Bezos on the phone now.
I don't know. You think I should?
Yeah.
Yeah, go Prime, because I'm not renting it until you go Prime.
Yeah,
man, I'm
cheap.
Pain.
I'm cheap.
People take stands like that all the time.
We're trying to help.
Well, okay.
Norman, listen.
My producers actually want to put it on Prime. We just haven't, it's just been something we've been voting back and forth because I want it in colleges and their universities for their theaters, and I didn't know if Prime was going to kill the theaters.
So yours is called Who Killed Nicole, correct?
Yes, correct.
Okay, how about the other one that's just been released called The Murder of Nicole Brown Simpson? Have you heard of that movie, too?
No.
Okay, it's got Mina Suvari in it. It just came out. I'm not sure exactly where it is. But it does seem to have a lot of similar things to your story. So I check that one out.
Well, there's a couple of people who watched my movie and knew about my movie, some other producers that did try to copy me, but that's okay.
Well, you should get a piece of that.
Okay.
Like OJ should get a piece of your tapes, to be honest.
Yeah, but I don't really mind. My movie is it took me 20 years. So whatever they produce,
I'm
not even going to compete nowhere near with what you're going to see when you get
20 years.
Norman, what in the world took 20 years?
Well, I did. Wait until you watch the movie. You're going to see it. They're gonna
I don't
go,
think
wow.
I'm going to see it.
Put it on Prime and I'll watch it.
Can we get the Rotten Tomato numbers for Norman's documentary on Amazon, Brandon?
Well, on Amazon, though, Drew's got a 3.9 rating out of 5.
But they rate everything high because it's on Amazon.
Yeah. Dave
and
P. in
OJ.
Connecticut didn't.
OJ's not going to get a high rating anyway because I hate OJ.
Well, let's just take some random. Is there a Dave P. that gave a review?
Oh, here's a review. I'm roughly 20 minutes into this one, having rented it based upon the positive Amazon customer reviews I read. So far, so good. And I'm about to turn off this utter mess of a film. There's any worthwhile.
You're going to get a few of those because OJ's attorney did that to me.
Well, they're not really mad about OJ. They're mad about other things.
What's he mad about? Norm, pipe down for a second.
It's completely obliterated by its amateurish editing and cliched presentation. It's as if the filmmakers had just bought 1,000 true crime documentary dissolves, dramatic music crescendos, menacing voiceover narration voices, and stylized text graphics value pack. At a dollar store.
What?
How about that internet? Isn't that crazy?
And elected to use every single one of them. Nowhere is this more evident than in the opening credit sequence, which just winds up feeling like a muddled, skitsy preview for the film you're already watching. Bottom line, forget this atrocious film and watch the far superior OJ Made in America instead. I wish the makers of this film had. Maybe they would have learned a thing or two about how to make a watchable documentary.
I was on that Made in America. I helped put that together.
Well, I bet you that documentary is made by some guy named Dave Pease from Connecticut.
I don't know.
Maybe that's why he's trashing yours.
Wow. That was ugly.
Could be somebody sitting on their bed that weighs 400 pounds. Okay.
A lot of people angry, but that's okay.
Well, we picked out a random one. That's pretty weird that that would happen.
You didn't pick out a random one. You picked out one for your rating.
No. What are you talking about?
Let's get real, guys. A random one, they didn't say that shit. You know, this is something you needed to put out there to try to get some pipe. You know.
All right. Just to prove it, Mark, pick another random one. We weren't even going to do a second one.
Sure it's worse than that one, random.
No, Mark. Pick
come
a random
on,
one.
You can get a better random one than that one. come on. If you're going to do it right. I haven't been on your show just one time. I'm not new at this.
Okay.
Informative. If you were young and didn't pay attention to what was going on, that's a 5-star review.
That's a plus. No, I get it.
Right?
One more? Yeah. Do read another one.
This documentary was not at all what I was expecting. This really made you think about things that haven't been presented in the past.
Oh.
Exactly.
And then, yeah.
Oh, that's pretty thoughtful.
But there is a couple attorneys in there, this with OJ, who's really trashed me bad in different places, not just there.
We're gonna
trash me on my Twitter thing. It told me it was the worst piece of blah 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 ever.
Wait, hold on. We have a random audio review, Brandon. I just heard the beginning of it. Can you play that? This is another review.
I would rather pack my rectum full of M80s and squat over a flaming hibachi than see this movie. Ooh.
Oh man, that's terrible. That's I'm sorry, Norm. Can we,
Brent? I want to see his thing.
Can you play another random one, please?
This is a 4-star.
Come on, I gotta watch.
I'd rather play Spin the Plunger with a New York City cop than see this film.
I don't know if I want to see his thing, but
I would rather have a circle jerk with my dad and grandpa than see this flaming turd of a movie.
That was Adam Carolla's review, actually.
Is that you guys just telling what you really want?
No, was Adam Carolla. Jeez.
No, it was. That's you guys.
Brandon, play it again. Do you know what Adam Carolla sounds like?
Not really.
Okay. All right.
That's
Norm.
Why it sounds like you. Everything sounds like you.
Listen, I'm fired up for this. I'm going to watch it on Amazon. I can get Amazon. I had no idea it was there. I'm going to check it out, and I will let you know what my review is, and I'll be fair because I'm excited for you.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that.
And your Twitter handle is @FollowNorm. Is that right?
Yes, @FollowNorm. I got a lot of yelling from OJ's attorney, so I haven't been doing much with it.
Do you follow OJ on Twitter?
No.
What?
Norm gets yelled at a lot. Norm, thank you so much.
I gotta get yelled at, you know? It's okay. It's all good.
I appreciate you taking the call, and I will let you know how I like it.
All right. Good luck, guys.
Thanks,
enjoy.
Norm.
All right.
See ya.
He's pretty slippery in all ways, isn't he?
I give him credit, though, man. He always answers our call.
I'm just saying.
You know the story, though, that he's presenting.
You've just been juiced.
He told us about it last time. He believes Glenn Rogers, the cross-country serial killer, is the one responsible.
Ridiculous.
Interesting.
And in his movie, he explains why. I don't know if he explains why all the blood goes right back into OJ's bedroom.
You've been juiced.
It's funny that I didn't know that there's also another movie called The Murder of Nicole Brown Simpson with the chick from American Pie, the chick from American Beauty. She's in it. I think she plays Nicole.
Mina Savari?
Yeah.
Really?
Why is she doing that movie?
She's playing Nicole?
Yeah.
It looks like it was like a straight-to-DVD. It's got a 0% Tomominator.
Ouch.
Man, her career just failed, didn't it?
Savari?
Yeah.
Yeah, it did go fast. Speaking of careers, Jim Bentley is trying to make a career at Zot, and we're trying to find some action. We're trying to find some action fast. It's the new year, which means our old friends at Zot Ford and Holly need to move some rides to make room for the fresh inventory. And included in their desire to move product is the loaded, brand new 18 Ford F-150 XLT Super Cabs on sale for half off. Yep, half off. 50% off MSRP. Chances are selling trucks at half off isn't going to help Bentley afford his own cell phone plan, but it might help you kick off 2020 with a bang and save an ass ton of cash. So please do not waste time surfing Zot Ford's sick deals and massive inventory at dealsnad.com. Instead, get over to Zot Ford immediately, ask for Bentley, and get your new Ford F-150 at half off. There you go. And let's see. Luke Nowacki wants you to know that he is ready to help you with a financial plan. In fact, I just spoke to someone who was going to see Luke, I think this week. Somebody does rather well, who for some reason doesn't have much to show for it, and she knows better. And so Luke is going to try and go with a plan for her. I believe she's 44 years old. And, you know, that's not a bad time. If you're making good money at 44, You ought to be in talking to Luke. If you're not saving money, come up with a plan. Maybe an investment plan, or maybe take a piece of your check every month, invest it in average time buying, which is what a lot of people do to avoid the ups and downs of the marketplace. Anyway, having a plan in place is critical, mandatory for retirement. Having a plan to pay for college, unless you just want to saddle your kids with debt, which a lot of people don't care. That's something Luke could help with, along with many, many other things. Call Luke Nowacki, 248-663-4748. Or you can email him at lnowacki@pinnaclewealthstrategies.com. Security Investment Advisory Services offered through Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated, member FINRA, SIPC. Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated, separately owned other entities, and/or marketing names, product services, reference here, independent of Royal Alliance Associates. We should activate
Jim's back to trolling.
Oh, no.
Yeah, Jim, go back to trolling.
He did.
He's already back to trolling?
You're going to need a Jim Bentley troll alert.
It's really funny because now he's on the... He's on the side of David Hogg, kind of.
Oh, people are picking on Hogg and he's defending him?
Yeah, I guess there was an alert at Harvard. There was an active shooter, a report of one. So David Hogg tweeted it out, you know, and wrote, if you're on campus at Harvard right now, read below. And Jim said, thank goodness you alerted the Harvard students. You saved lives today, sir. Well done.
Was anyone killed?
As far as I know, I haven't even heard about it if it wasn't for David Hogg.
Was he dodging bullets like it?
Let me rephrase this. I wouldn't have known about this if it wasn't for Jim Bentley's trolling of David Hogg.
So are people trolling Bentley for supporting Hogg?
So after he wrote that, the guy wrote, are you joking? He didn't do anything. Harvard sent out the alert, not Hoggo. Yeah. And then Jim wrote, I'm looking at the tweet right now. Hogg sent it out and probably saved countless lives. Him saving lives just like he did in high school. Ha, ha, ha. So now Jim's fighting with this guy. But my favorite part is the very end when Jim wrote, because the guy was just saying, Harvard's the one that sent that out, not Hogg. And Jim finally just wrote, well, David still told everyone on Twitter.
Yeah. I'm not sure Hogg really did all that much there, but it's nice that Jim is there to troll people on David Hogg's behalf. The ABNN. Definitely need to hit the ABNN. A lot going on.
This year's breaking news on the ABNN.
Happy 38th birthday.
The Antonio Brown News Network.
From your boy, AB number 84.
Stand by for some booming breaking news. Shit.
Booming.
How much news can there be involving one person who is inactive in their chosen profession for so long? It's amazing. First of all, you can now bet on whether AB will get arrested in 2020.
Wow.
It's
what are the odds?
Yes, plus 700. No, minus 1,600. So clearly,
bet 1,600 to win 100?
Yeah, it's no. Knows where you want to go. But there's a big gap between those two bets, isn't there? Yeah. A lot of house money.
Exactly. The yes, well, that's kind of good odds, actually. $700, bet 100, win a 700.
Except when the no's minus 1,600.
Yeah, but
he's never been arrested, has he?
I don't think
he has.
But he's really trying to get arrested now.
Yeah.
He sure is. He certainly could have been a bunch of times if he wasn't AB. Drew Rosenhaus dropped him as his client today. That's not good for him.
He's fired!
And yeah, Drew, apparently this is the straw that broke the camel's back. And he also said that I'd be happy to represent him if he gets the help he needs, which is
money.
Laughable. Didn't he do the same thing with Johnny Manziel, that I will represent Johnny Manziel if he reports to rehab, you know, within 30 days. And then, you know, if he reports to rehab soon, if he reports to rehab at all. And then I think Manziel just completely blew him off.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he even represents Manziel anymore.
No. He broke off just like he did with AB.
But according to the ABNN, Drew, for Rosenhaus, this was the final straw. So apparently the other straws, such as calling his GM a cracker, threatening to beat up his GM, numerous alleged sexual assaults.
He was still employable.
Trolling the females he assaulted, treating his child's mother like a dog at best, live on Instagram, destroying a rented condo, throwing furniture off the 7th floor of the balcony, almost hitting a 4-year-old, trolling NFL people, Robert Kraft, the Pats owner who gave him an opportunity he never should have had, trolling Juju Schuster, destroying the value of Central Michigan University degrees by going there and claiming to be in good standing. Calling 911 over complete bullshit last count over 20 times. Refusing to pay bills of small businesses he used and lied to about, including a personal chef and his wife. He called them crackers and sent them home and refused to pay them $38,000 they had flown to Hawaii to provide meals for, I think it was like six different players and their families. And then he claimed that he had put a salmon head in his freezer to say that he was going to kill him.
Not that it matters. It was in Florida, though, wasn't it?
Was it in Florida?
When the Pro Bowl was in Orlando.
It was a $38,000 bill. Yeah, the Pro Bowl, I just naturally think of it as being in Hawaii. Yeah. Stiffing personal trainers, plural. He stiffed a doctor. He farted in his face and posted about it. Then posting 911 calls, calling police stupid, saying, fuck the police, calling them N-words, crackers, in front of his kids. And then blaming white women for all his problems.
Wait, throwing a bag of dicks?
Bag of dicks. Yeah. I know, Trudy, the list is so long. So which straw was it that took Drew Rosenhaus over the top after all that? I think Drew Rosenhaus has a pretty good tolerance. And then after I wrote all that down,
understatement.
I was reminded of the fact that he Facebook live streamed the Steelers locker room without anyone's permission or knowledge. He skipped the last game of the 2018 season for no reason when it was to make the playoffs. He froze his feet, was late, reporting to the Oakland Raiders, then refused to play because he couldn't wear a helmet that he liked.
Yeah, that's right.
NFL had, I mean, it just goes on and on and on and on.
He's the same dipshit who froze his feet?
Yes.
Wow.
That's him.
Jeez.
Those feet were gross. You remember those pictures?
Shit.
Yeah, it was very gross.
Oh, shit.
I know, it's just, oh my God, how insane.
He just tweeted an hour ago that words aren't crimes. Just thought you want to know that.
What aren't crimes?
Words are not a crime. And then he tweeted again, do not be afraid to use your words.
That's the guy to take advice from.
He's mad at Stephen A. Smith for something.
Stephen A. Smith went on a long rant. And
not Stephen A.
Yeah, he went on a long rant about the way he treated the police.
Good.
Not just on the recent one, but on multiple ones. And he pointed out repeatedly how absolutely disrespectful and what a prick he was to the police. And his point, Stephen A's point, and this must be what AB's responding to, is that they could have arrested him by rights. Hmm. And I don't remember exactly why he said they could have arrested him. I assume there's only so far you can go with, you know, calling police names. There's probably something you can charge him with. I think there is. I don't know what it is exactly, but he was a total asshole.
Yeah, he was mean to him, but at least he didn't slap him on their ass.
That's true.
He did throw a bag of dicks at him, though.
Yeah. I don't know what I'd prefer, to be honest. Both situations really just show what a fucking pain in the ass.
I hate it when you see videos like that where, you know, someone is filming themselves like flicking off a cop or, you know, talking so much shit to them because they know you can't touch me because I'm filming you.
Do you watch Facebook videos very often?
Sometimes. I mean, the ones that go viral, obviously.
Only when people are getting murdered.
But, to tell you the truth, only if they go viral. I don't watch normal people's.
Yeah. Well, I watch the viral ones, too. And there's so many. I'm sure you guys have seen these where they film the cops coming up to the window and they're like, yeah, get your license and registration. No.
Right.
Sir, can I get your license and registration? No. What did I do? Sir, could you? And it goes on like that. These people who, you know, I know my rights and you had no reason to pull me over, so I'm not giving you my license. And one guy wouldn't roll down the window. Hmm. And it's like, oh, Jesus, what a fucking pain in the ass. And I forgot what the guy did wrong. I think he was 15 over the limit or something like that. Or I don't remember what he did.
How can you even ever win that argument, though? Because even if you don't roll down your window, they're going to get you somehow.
I don't know. I really don't. And, you know, watching what's my show on ID called? With the cop cam? Body cam.
Oh, body cam.
Body cam. I saw this body cam where this one guy and it's interesting when you see a cop get in a situation, you know, with an errant person, be it a driver, you know, who wants to fight or somebody who you have to chase. They always radio immediately, you know, yeah, he ran. He's going this way. And it seems like an eternity to get help, especially in small towns.
Yeah.
In this case, this guy chased this guy and he's in a pickup and he's going really fast and it's dangerous as hell and he's backing off. But he can still see the guy. And so at some point he gets closer to him again and he gets the strip. He gets somebody else to put strip sticks down. And they do. And so the guy gets a flat tire. He's going 5 miles an hour trying to decide, you know, where to get out. They can see the door opening, which is pretty funny. And he finally jumps out and he takes off. And what he was waiting for was this swampy, lagoony area.
Yeah.
And he gets a nice head start. And there's only one cop who has been able to follow him. They're all coming. But he has to get out and run. And the next thing you know, he's wastewater deep in
swamp.
This sludge.
You can't run in water.
No. And he cannot find the guy. And it's dune-y and there's growths all over the place. And so it's like, oh, fuck, where's this guy? And he knows, you know, I got to get the dog. The dog, because dogs can... Apparently they can follow a scent in water, which I didn't know they could do that. But these dogs are amazing. Anyway, the guy gets here with the dog.
Swim?
Can the cops?
The dogs then swim.
Just dog paddle, you know. And the dog locates the guy. He takes him right to him.
Oh, wow.
It's a long trek, but they finally get to the guy. And all you can see is his face in the water. Everything is submerged, but his face is looking out, which is really a funny thing to see. And they start trying to pull him out of the water, and he's stuck in the mud.
Just leave him.
And they think he's bullshitting. Like, oh, cut it out. Stop being stupid. Just get up. You know, he's like, I can't. And they start pulling him, and he's still stuck, and he's sinking deeper.
Ah.
It's like, oh, my God, what's going on here? So they have to get more bodies, and eventually they start pulling him up by his pants, you know, because you can't really get a hold. This guy's flabby. It's just horrible. Anyway, they finally get him out, and... So they're walking through the swamp, you know, to get back to the street so they can take him away. And he's in handcuffs. And the guy takes off.
Wow.
He takes off in the water.
Oh, my
God. Kidding.
God.
Yeah. And so they have to grab him again. It was so dumb. It's like, where are you going in water with handcuffs on your hand? He, like, dove in the water.
Oh, my God.
Like he's going to swim with handcuffs on. And then the other one I saw that was absolute madness was another cop in a chase, and they pulled into this house that was near woods, and both people get out and just take off in different directions. He tracks the one guy down who was closest, who was slowest, puts cuffs on him, and meanwhile he's unleashed his dog after the other guy because he's got a dog.
Oh God, I'm running!
So he grabs the guy by his shirt and is like pulling him along with him as he runs to get the dog and see what the dog has found. And sure
canine,
enough,
as they call, I call it a dog.
The dog is all over the guy and he's way up there. He has to drag this guy. I mean, making this guy run with him, who he's going to run.
A talented dog.
I've never seen a cop work so hard, but he got them both.
Wow.
A beautiful dog.
So, yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
I think AB and Odell Beckham Jr. need to watch Body Cam. Somehow, I don't think they will.
They should be sentenced to watch that.
They should.
Yeah.
I'm serious. Come on, guys. Fun, simple, fast, and easy experience while saving you fat sacks of cash. Trudy's going to tell you all about that because...
Oh.
Uh-huh. I see Dr. Roche's after that.
Yeah.
This gives me a chance
to get away
for 2 minutes.
What were you supposed to grab?
Oh, his list of ideas.
Oh, my ideas. Yeah. My ideal list, yeah.
Green light ideas. Down.
People are some people are talking about this list. They just can't believe it.
I've heard he's got diarrhea.
Well, our friends and studio sponsors at DealsInTheD.com are all about that fun, fast, simple, easy experience and saving fat stacks of cash. Want to save time, saving money? Do you want to have a really fantastic experience?
Yes.
I want to have a shitty one. If your answer is your answer, then you want to visit Zott Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, Zott Ford, or the best kept secret in Detroit, Zott Toyota, because that's where Thad Zott, Jeff Schneider, Todd Zott, and Steve Gabara take great pride in rolling out the red carpet to Drew and Mike listeners, all while making buying or leasing your very next new or pre-owned vehicle the most refreshing thing you'll do in 2020. Go surf their ridiculous deals and massive inventory at dealsinthed.com and tell them Drew, Mark, Brandon, me, and Zoov sent you. And Dr. Roche, I guess three words say it all for the month of January: butts, boobs, and BBL. The three B's in the new year. 10% off all surgical procedures. Dr. Roche's office for the month of January. Work it without not putting in all the work is basically their mantra there. You can get your curves, but you don't really have to sweat for them. They can help you. HGH, hormone replacement therapy too, and CBD products, because we talk a lot about some of the procedures like BBL and Diva vaginal therapy and breast implant specials, which are all well and good. But they also do things like hormone replacement therapy, which is really great because, you know, you got knees that ache and skin that could be rejuvenated.
Everything aches.
By, using human growth hormone and the replacement hormone therapies and CBD. I've used a couple of those products too.
Hey, whatever works.
I know. It's great for aches and pains. And he's got a lot of uses for some of those too. So you can go to Dr. Roche. It's not just for breasts at all.
Avoid vaginal intercourse for 2 weeks, although oral, manual, and anal are all acceptable.
Check out all of their specials at droche.com and call for a consultation, too, while you're at it at 248-338-1110. Put your best face and body forward. Yeah, at Dr. Roche, man.
Dr. Gregory Roche.
Rise and shine, everyone.
You know what?
Is that it?
We were talking about the Walenda thing, or you guys were, Tuesday, and how she's trying to dance across a volcano.
Yes.
And he had Robin Roberts like all sucked in by the whole thing.
Yes, because, you know, she's Robin Roberts.
Yeah. And
it's a little soft.
I was watching ABC this morning, and they're talking about that big volcano in the Philippines. Now, that's the one he should walk across. He needs to get there right now.
Whatever one is about to be the most active is the one he needs
that's
to try
the
and
one.
Across.
Well, yeah.
Since we can't see him fall because he's harnessed, it
and
would
he's wearing
be cool
a helmet.
If there was a huge burp by the volcano and like just...
and it just enveloped him.
Yeah, just singe his legs or something.
Just a piece of lava just comes roaring up and just...
What's like the highest distance you can fall and not die, but just get really hurt?
Oh.
Like five-story? Can you just do a five-story walk unharnessed? Because that'd be way more exciting than all the other ones he's done way up in the sky where he's harnessed.
Yeah. You're right about that.
How is it that these people fall from airplanes and their chute doesn't open and they actually live?
Yeah, do that, Walenda. And the way more impressive.
People, too, that do the flying, you know, that crazy.
Oh, yeah. Like the bungee.
That is so insane.
Well, I mean, I saw that there is an active volcano right now. He needs to rush wherever he is in the world to that volcano in the Philippines. And then that might be exciting.
Extreme, brah.
He'd still find a way to make it boring.
You know what's funny? I probably will watch that, but I'm so Walended out.
I know.
He's played out.
He's played out, Trudy.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear
him. He's played out.
I don't want to hear him and his dad praying for 3 hours and then talking about what a magnificent view it is, since he's the only one that'll ever get to see that view.
You don't got
to
be so anti-Jesus, Mark.
Being anti-Jesus. I don't care I don't want to hear him pray to Allah or Muhammad. I don't want to hear any of that.
The singing was the worst.
Oh, yeah, that was annoying. Hey, the sister fell how far? How far did she fall and still live?
On her face, yeah. She's
fine. Oh, the one that's alive?
Yeah.
Well, that's what I was saying. They need a fall.
That's
they
what I
need
mean.
To do
yeah,
something
yeah.
crazy,
they need a
and
fall.
Somebody needs to fall, so we remember that, hey, this thing can go wild. But he's just doing these things that have no risk
safe.
Whatsoever. He had a harness on!
Yeah.
They should have canceled that as soon as it was determined that he had to wear a harness. Should have been canceled.
I don't want him to die, but can he at least fall once in a while? So just do a two-story walk.
You know what?
He should plan a fall that's kind of fake.
No, he should redo what old Crazy Legs Grandpa did. He should redo that walk in the wind.
I agree.
Killed him.
Or his grandfather now should do it, or his father should do it.
Oh, at that age. Yeah,
dad's like in his late 70s, and he looks just as feeble as the grandfather. Couldn't walk
up
across.
There. That was in Puerto Rico, right? With really high winds.
Oh, yeah, it was really windy.
That again, Walendas.
And the wire was sagging.
Yeah.
And he wasn't even strong enough to hold onto the wire when he fell. I mean, didn't it seem like he should have held onto the wire easily?
Yes.
It really did.
He held on for like
so
a
they
second.
Need to they
I'm
need
surprised that wasn't classified as suicide. I'm out. I can't hold on.
They should. That should be.
He reevaluated his life in that split second. What am I doing? I'm a tightrope walker. See ya. I'm out.
They should make the senior most Walenda do a ridiculous stunt
that
they
I
know they're
going to
die on. Get
I
their affairs
watch.
In order and then do it. Everybody would watch.
Yeah.
And then it would make the next fake really hard one much more interesting.
He's close to death anyway, right?
Yeah.
Is his mom the one that walked across the tightrope while he was in utero? Is she gone?
Hi, mommy.
Oh,
remember she was pregnant for him, and she did the tightrope.
I know, and
I've been walking across tightrope since before I was born.
I know that was so stupid.
How
could Child Protective Services not have stepped in as soon as she got off the wire and said, "Okay, we're gonna cut that baby out of you, and you're gone. Bye." He's gonna grow in an incubator. See you. We're gonna put him inside somebody else. Madness.
Mm. Hey, can I read you an email I got? This is just a great email.
Yeah.
Hey, Mark. I received 20-plus custom song orders from Michigan since I was on the show last week.
Nice.
Thanks again. I was cracking up listening to last week's show when you all discussed how I was 1/10 away from Elton John's jeans. Hilarious.
No, he would be Elton John if he had... there's a gene splice that could be made. And he would go from writing 22,000 songs that a fair number of people listen to,
yeah,
14 million streams, to, you know, he's having top 10 records.
He agreed. He said hilarious. Turns out my best songs are actually better than Elton. Here's a playlist of my 120 best serious songs.
Oh,
all are better than Sir Elton.
Lastly,
I've been doing a monthly show in my hometown. It's kind of a mix between a concert, a TED Talk, and a stand-up comedy act.
Hey,
and then he said, if you think your listeners would be receptive to it, I will be willing to come to Michigan for a show.
Oh, so
Matt Farley is finally open to traveling to put on a show.
What?
He wants to do a show here now?
At least since you ran upstairs to take a dump, he wrote, lastly, I've been doing a monthly show in my hometown. It's kind of a mix between a concert, a TED Talk, and a stand-up comedy. No. If you think your listeners would be receptive to it, I'd be willing to come out to Michigan for a show. Matt.
If he leaves a TED Talk out, maybe. We need a TED Talk.
He said it was a mix. So it's
again,
one-third of TED Talk.
He needs to be managed or something.
He released a video yesterday. It's Matt Farley sings the James Bond theme.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And then... it starts out, and it's pretty much just the trailer for James Bond. You see everything. You see Daniel Craig, and he's looking over the city.
England.
You know.
Gun.
But then you jump ahead. I'm going to jump ahead 30 seconds.
James.
Meanwhile, it's still showing all of the James Bond footage. It's pretty funny.
J-A-M-E-S.
Great theme.
Now, there's a list of 120 of his best songs. Does Beatitude have those?
Hell no. Hell no.
It's called, if you have Spotify, it's on there, because that's where he puts most of his stuff. No Jokes, the Best of Motown Media, which is the name of one of his bands.
He needs to have everything under one umbrella. He'd have 20 million streams, at least.
Just start managing him.
And drop the
maybe
TED Talk,
Rosenhaus
Matt.
Can. He needs another client.
Oh, brother. Yeah, we have a lot of great email about the songs he's done. Every song he does, the people love it. Mm-hmm. Somebody got one done for their kid's birthday. The kid loved it, plays it all the time. They can do one for another kid. But we need to get songs for us, too. Can't we get one like for the Boner Line, a Boner Line intro?
Boner, boner, boner. B-O-N-E-R.
Boner.
How many boner calls, Boner Line calls do we have, by the way?
Like 60. I got to go through them all. I was unable to put them together today. I apologize. I do have, I can play a couple if we want to do our read and everything. I'm
Maddie.
Sorry. Yeah, her gross, disgusting secretions from her right eye ruined everything today.
Whose DNA is that, do you think?
Kristen's.
Well, I did.
Kristen's pink eye gene.
We can wait on the Boner Line, unless you got a couple that you really think are important to hear now, or especially, I was going to read some email too. But first, corny as it sounds, it's 2020, so why aren't you 2020? That is without glasses and contacts. The only way to get there is to opt for a safe, painless, brief procedure at the Aldo Eye Center. 2 years now, our listeners have done it. Many, many, many people have. Whether it's the multifocal implants or the regular LASIK, Dr. Yell has become the most...
eyes, yes I do. They are what I see things with. I like my eyes very much. Without my eyes, I would not be able to see. I look out and I see the world. I see the world.
Yeah, So silly. Dr. Yaldo, would love to do what hundreds of Drew and Mike listeners have done, and he'd love to do it for you. Make the call, understand what will be required to rid you of glasses, contacts, and reading glasses, and then decide for yourself, and it may be that he decides he can't help you, or he needs a you need a couple years to get worse. But you can always buy frames there and sunglasses, as Trudy did. 1-800-398-EYES, 800-398-EYES. Or go to YaldaWeisCenter.com.
Check out this other song he has. I'm sure he's dedicating it to Mandy today.
Oh.
Long intro for Matt.
Wow.
Pink eye.
Is he going to say conjunctivitis in the song?
It's called the conjunctivitis song.
Pink eye, conjunctivitis. If your eye is pink,
and I like the multi-tracking there, the vocals.
It's pretty good.
It means it's time to sing along with us.
Mandarin.
Come on, sing along. It's the conjunctivitis song. Sing it. Pink eye, conjunctivitis.
He's harmonizing with himself, Drew.
Pink eye, conjunctivitis.
It's just a one-man band.
Conjunctivitis. If you don't wash your hands, then that would be outrageous.
Might be his best song ever.
It's certainly very niche.
Educational.
It would be on the Maddie Top 10 today. Yeah, I was going to read a few emails and a few other things before we adjourn for the weekend. And I checked Chartables to see how we're doing since we've lost so much audience, all those one-star reviews, all those angry people on Facebook, and we did. So we successfully created a beef between our listeners who've abandoned us and like to continue. By the way, why do people keep posting stuff like a week later?
Because they want us to read it, I guess. I don't know.
Well, anyway, they're not getting that much attention, but the people who are pounding on them are getting more attention, I think, and they're sending in nice notes, which I do appreciate. But our Chartables rank is 117. Pretty good.
Oh,
pretty good. I could look at who we're ahead of.
Ooh, yeah.
That's always fun.
You have had a big fucking head lately. Why don't you come back to reality?
And we were 102.
All right.
On Wednesday. Which would be Tuesday's recording, which, you know, there really isn't that much rhyme or reason. Because I get some people like, I know you get much more audience on Wednesday, Mazday.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not true. We have those. I mean, people act like, well, how would they ever know that? We do. We have the graph with the bars that shows the various days, which there is not much difference in any day. Mm-hmm. Although earlier in the week tends to do better than later in the week, depending on the week, what's going on that week. But, okay, let's see. Are you interested in who we're beating?
Yes.
I usually start with us, and like we're number one, and then I go backwards.
Okay.
So I can only know who we're beating.
Who's right behind us?
Chelsea Handler.
What?
Next. Well, we're ahead of her. She was top five.
Oh, my God. She had a TV show and several books.
A national TV show. And honestly, when her podcast came out, it was new and noteworthy, which is like, oh, boy, sure would be nice to be in New and Noteworthy when we were new and noteworthy, or when we're noteworthy. But it's always the Chelsea Handlers and the Topher Graces and, you know, these famous people that get in there. So anyway.
Which will be reviewed next week on Who Are These Podcasts.
Exactly.
The Topher Grace podcast.
Oh, he is doing Topher?
Yes, he even said, I'm doing back-to-back Drew Lane episodes.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Well, and Carl, we're going to get Carl on, I think, next week, and he's going to bring some clips, like cool. some Stuttering John clips.
Oh, perfect.
And I asked for some more morning toast, too.
Hey, Carl, good to see you.
But, I mean, this is really cool because Chelsea Handler was top five.
Ah.
And when you're brand new and all these people subscribe and you have all these new subscribers, that analytic with Apple outweighs a lot of things, but then she stayed there. I was like, oh my God, she's really good. And I, you know, I'm not surprised. Chelsea Handler is very well known.
Yeah.
And she's very vocal. She has a lot to say. I listened to one, and Who Are These Podcasts would have an absolute field day with Chelsea Handler. I'm here to tell you. The first show was just, it's so all about her. Everything goes back to her. Everything relates back to her. Anyway.
You know, that's kind of her shtick, right? Has she ever done anything besides her?
I'm not a big viewer of Chelsea. I did watch her late night show.
She writes all those books about herself and how much she drinks and vacationing and stuff like that.
You know, I got to tell you, did you guys watch her show on Fox?
No. Mm-mm.
I watched it a few times because it was on at 11, mm-hmm. I think. And I was just, I'm interested. I don't think I ever laughed. I probably watched the show, 10 times, never laughed.
My wife liked it.
She did?
Yeah, she liked seeing a female night host, and so she would watch it.
Even if it's not a good show?
Well, I think that she related to a lot of the topics that Chelsea Handler discussed.
Did she like Chewy?
I can't recall. I never watched it with her, but I think, isn't Chewy the lovable sidekick?
Did you feel you had to defend Chelsea Handler because Kristen likes Chelsea Handler?
Oh, I'm not defending her at all. No. I'm not defending her at all.
We threw her under the bus with the pink eye.
No, somebody liked her.
Why did she get rid of that TV gig? They didn't force her out, did they?
I honestly don't know. No, it was not a Busy Phillips thing where it was just a bad show and nobody thought it was a good show.
She had great ratings.
She did. I don't think she had great ratings, but she did well for Fox at that time. You know, like Jimmy Kimmel, to me, I can't believe he would not be number one. But he's third. He's behind Fallon and Colbert. And frankly, I think he has a much better show.
Oh,
but
yeah.
ABC has never done terribly well in late night. So for ABC late night, he does very well. And I think they're very happy with him.
Well, because he produces way more content, too. He hypes The Bachelor because he's always got a bit about that.
Yeah. No, and he can do that and make it very entertaining,
which unfortunately
I'm not able to do. People just hate it whenever the topic comes up. In fact, people are angry right now because you said the word.
Oh, yeah. Jeez.
But anyway, to be ahead of Chelsea Handler, I'm very happy about that.
Good luck with the podcast.
Legion of Skanks is behind
us.
That
sounds fun.
It does really well.
Next.
Is it hosted by anyone? I'll look it up.
You might know these guys.
Who are the Skanks?
Skanks are... They're
who
everybody.
Are they?
Everybody who isn't a guy.
They're
pretty much
New York-based stand-up comedians.
Yeah, Big J. Okerson. I think a lot of people know Big J.
Oh, yeah. That's
Louis
right.
J. Gomez and Dave Smith.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's kind of funny.
I got to tell you, I listened to a live one they did, and man, the crowd was going apeshit.
Oh, they're...
You know, and I don't know. I've never really... And this is something, as I hear who these podcasts, they talk about Opie and Anthony a lot. Yeah. And those guys had so many comedians on their show, and I've just never... I did it in Phoenix. We used to have the improv guy on, because the improv in Tempe is a great comedy club. They used to have great people. That's where I first met Spade. And Dennis Miller did his HBO special there, so we had Dennis... And we used to get these guys as it came along. And the first time, it's like, you really don't know what you're getting. Mm-hmm. And then as you start to know these guys, it gets even better when it's good, like with Rich Scheidner or Dana Gould or certain guys that came through a lot. However, I just felt like comedians was difficult unless you knew the person, unless they were good on their feet in that environment. And a lot of guys just aren't. And it's not because they're not good comedians. Mm-hmm. Greg Giraldo was spectacular. Dave Attell is fantastic. I just felt there were just a few that were good for our show, and more because of us. But a lot of these guys, like the Legion of Skanks guys, they do a ton of radio, and O&A had people like this on all the time, and it worked for them. Kevin in the Morning, which is Kevin and Bean, they're behind us.
Yeah.
124 Idiot with Chris Hardwick, he's behind us. Doug Stanhope, 128. He's behind us. The Woody Show.
Next.
Smoshcast.
Next.
Isn't that Kevin Smith?
Yes, it is. Yep.
Guys, We Fucked. Now, there's a show.
Next.
That one's been around
for a
while.
That used to be a really hot show. And I think they need to fuck some more people or something.
They ran out of guys to talk about?
Yeah, I think they kind of did. Well, this is what happens with when you have female shows that are really bawdy. People get off on them. And I think, unfortunately, there wasn't enough besides the topic or the subject matter to sort of keep them on top. I'm not sure if they just didn't come through or what, but they've fallen to 139.
Well, I mean, how many stories can you really have?
Well, it depends. Depends on, they need to have guest people to talk about guys they fucked.
Yeah, I mean, I think they talk about other things other than the guys they fucked.
Oh. I mean, they talk a lot about guys they fucked.
How long have you listened to it? How long did they spend on each guy?
Well, it's more. It's not like they just bring a dick in and, you know, go through all the history. It's more free flowing than that. Yeah. I think I've only listened to it once.
So it's not documentary style.
No.
Anyone for penis?
Paula Poundstone, 148.
What?
I know. I don't know.
Close.
I was shocked that she still had an audience. Yeah. To be honest. Doug Loves Movies. That's a good show.
Yeah.
Crank Yankers is 152. We're at all these people. K-Pod, the Kid Craddock Morning Show, which of course is in all the trade magazines. The Jim Jefferies Show is 163. Oh, the Late Jim Show Jefferies. Podcast. We're ahead of Colbert.
What?
Preston and Steve, WMMR, 166. Bob and Sherry.
Bob and Sherry are still around.
Yeah, 167. Wow. Yeah, and Bob's looking badass in that leather jacket, I got to tell you. Ricky Gervais. We're ahead of Ricky Gervais.
I didn't even know he had one.
Yeah, he's at 169. It's pretty funny.
Really?
Yeah, Two Dope Queens, which has done really well at times.
Yeah, they had a big HBO special.
Topher Grace is 175. How can he still... Hopefully our friends take care of that at WATP. John Boy and Billy, 183. I didn't know they had a podcast. Yeah. But you know what?
Well, they're still on the air, so...
They're on the... Are they still based in Charlotte, you know?
Don't know. They were syndicated all over the place, though.
It's funny because they were just starting out in Charlotte. When I worked in Charlotte, you know, I was stuck in Roanoke, Virginia for all that time. I sent out 200 demo tapes. I couldn't get a job.
What? Really?
And you know, occasionally you'd find people who'd write back and say, hey, I really liked your tape, but I don't have anything open. Or this guy in San Francisco who helped me a lot, actually, he said, people don't go from Roanoke to San Francisco, but I think you're going somewhere, and I'm gonna send your tape to some people. So anyway, it landed in Charlotte, which is near Roanoke. It's like 2.5 hours. So I ended up getting a job in Charlotte, which was great. And John Boy and Billy were just starting out, and they were very funny. They were really good.
Still based out of Charlotte.
Okay. And John Boy got busted too.
What do you mean? For what?
I think it was pot. Oh. It was a lot of pot, I think. While they were doing that show, and they got syndicated after I left, but I thought they were really good. I mean, that's a real Southern show. They would talk a lot of, you know, NASCAR, you know, the Charlotte 600 and all that. So I'm not surprised they do well in the South at all.
What about NASCAR? You like NASCAR?
Mm. Man.
It's like a fine wine.
Why are these true crime shows in our category? Get out of here! And going to 200. Dun, dun, dun. I don't see too many we would know. Or feel great about being ahead of.
Who's right above us? I don't want to pain you.
I'm not going to talk about it. The Bob and Tom show is 228. Let's see. Okay. Oh, if you insist.
But there's no Tom anymore.
I know.
There's no Mike anymore.
Did they pay Tom to use his name? Joe Rogan's number one.
I didn't mean number one. I just want to know who was right above us. I don't want to cry.
Wait, the Daily Show podcast. I got an email about Trevor Noah.
Yeah.
So did you see the email?
No.
Did not.
No.
Okay. I couldn't remember if you sent it to mail or to me personally. It was a...
Zeus and I were talking about him the other day. We're both flummoxed as to why he is still, A, the host, and people laugh at him.
It really...
It's not funny.
Unnerves me that he gets so much attention. His podcast is number two. It's not usually that high. It's not usually even top 10, I don't think. But for some reason, anyway, Office Ladies,
maybe
which
he had
is
a big guest.
It feels like a TED Talk, his show.
Jenna Fisher.
What?
Yeah, Jenna Fisher.
Yeah.
Pam and Angela, they're number three. People love that show.
Pretty
that's
good,
that's
I would
a
think.
Fairly new show. Yeah, I would think it'd be pretty good too. I mean, they're The Office is so popular. Yeah. Dax is number four. Here's the Daily Show is two out of the top five. What? The Ears Edition, what does that mean? Fuck. Conan O'Brien is sixth. Bill Burt podcast. Is that Bill? Bill Burr? Bill Burr and Burt Kreischer? Really?
Oh, yeah. I knew they did one.
Well, I love Bill. Yeah. Burt does really well. Adam Carolla is 11th. Bill Burr's Monday Morning Podcast is 12th. What the Fuck with Mark Maron is 13th. Okay. I'll try to get stop being so boring.
Yeah, before we slip down one more.
We're always surrounded.
Oh, Bobby Bones. What is Bobby Bones? I'm not happy about Bobby Bones.
Bobby Bones.
Bobby fucking Bones. He's like number 50 or something.
It's not his real name, is it?
I don't know.
There's not really a Mr. and Mrs. Bones, is there?
His name is Bobby Estelle.
You pussy. Go by Bobby Estelle then.
He's a really good self-promoter.
He nailed Nikki Glaser.
He did?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, he did. That's true. I heard Nikki talking about it, not him.
Right.
Okay, he's right in front of us. The three questions with Andy Richter. Bill Burr and Joe DeRosa. Bill Burr's got three podcasts. The Bonfire with Big J. Okerson and Dan Soder. Those are the Legion of Skanks guys. Small Doses with Amanda Seals. And Super Mega Cast. And then us at 117.
And that's the iTunes. And I checked the Google Play rankings, which is not the same as Google Podcasts. It's kind of a messed up thing. Google Play is on its way out. But I still check those rankings. And when we post our show at night, we jump all the way up to like number, I don't know, 35 through 40 every single night. And we're always surrounded by Ashley Rosen and all the Barstool podcasts. But then in the morning, we're gone. So it's just weird. These analytics, no one's really nailed it down yet in terms of how you can, you know, rank everything. But I wish they had a huge conglomerate. But
It is so weird, though, that we pop on there, and we were popping in between the two same shows every night. Was it Allison Rosen?
Allison
is your
Rosen
best friend.
In KFC Barstool.
Okay.
Well, then it's like, who gets there first, isn't it?
No.
I'm not sure.
Not?
Because on Google Play, none of the other top 50 ever move. But we jump in and then fall out, and then jump in and then fall out.
Really?
Yep.
They don't fall out during the day, none of them?
None of them do.
How can no one else jump in?
I have no idea.
Are we special because we just jump in? I mean, we're the only one that jumps in. That's pretty cool.
Are the other ones 5-day shows?
No.
No.
They're mostly
some
one,
of them.
They're mostly one a week. Mostly.
Hmm.
Okay. Kyle sent in just a quick email. I miss Mike Clark, but you guys are super strong. Sans Mike, keep it 9/8. Thank you. Then, let's see.
There's a new review on Apple.
Oh, great.
The guy writes, I was only 5/8 on Tuesday. Now I'm full jerk mode all week. Don't be so hard on yourself, Drew. Hashtag water squirt emoji. And then he adds the water squirt emoji.
Yeah,
the children.
There are quite a few.
What children?
Similar jokes or anecdotes about Tuesday. I don't really want to read a lot of them because they're not. I mean,
I was just laughing.
As hard as people were on us, there are also people who are just as hard on someone else. And, you know, I wasn't really trying to go with that. But even though I just said it, Sean wrote in, hey, Drew, a great rock doc. I haven't heard you mention is We Jam Econo about the Minutemen. Maybe you've seen it, but I hadn't heard it mentioned. Anyway, keep up the great work. Has anybody heard the Minutemen?
No.
Punk band. Early 80s, I believe. And I'm trying to think of the guy who... He's played with Eddie Vedder. You know what Eddie Vedder is? Oh, Mike Watt. The bass player, I believe, with the Minutemen. He's a badass player.
Really?
And he's played with some big, big people. But that doc is really good. And what happened to the Minutemen, they were just starting to blow up. I mean, they were successful. They did very well.
They did the theme to...
Wow.
Is this the Jackass theme?
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
This is the Minutemen, Corona.
They had an interesting thing going, and it was flying, and it was starting to take off. And I can't remember the third guy. He died. And they could not, you know, a three-piece. And I think the guy that died was the singer.
Oh.
And that was the end of the Minutemen. Really sad story. That's a really good doc, but it was very sad because it wasn't one of those drug ODs or something. It was kind of a fluke deal. Natalie wrote in to say, I'm sure
she put together her own list.
Yeah. I was screaming, let's see, I'm sure you're getting into these about cold vocal opens.
Yep.
But I had to say I was screaming, Buddy Holly by Weezer! Doing a list of cold vocal intros. And then I thought of these. London Burning, The Clash. Know Your Rights, The Clash.
Maybe Beato didn't count it because it's simultaneous.
And Crazy Train. No, it's got to be just vocals alone.
Yeah.
Crazy Train Ozzy, same problem. So anyway.
Yeah, for sure.
I wrote her back, told her how much I love The Clash, and that asked her what her sweet spot was in terms of that period artists, and mentioned how much I like Elvis. And she loves Elvis. I've seen him twice at the Michigan Theater in Ann Arbor. He loves playing there. I caught the Smithereens and the Church at the Magic Bag. Yeah, the Church, that's a band right from that period. It really isn't a band from that period.
That's a really good band, too.
The Church, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, what was the other band I was thinking about? Oh, Echo and the Bunnymen. I heard an Echo and the Bunnymen song on Channel 34 Satellite. Is it something, wait, Kiss or Lips or something? What is that song? God, it's a really good song.
What band? Echo and the Bunnymen?
Echo and the Bunnymen, and it's, I want to say Lips, Kiss, something.
Lips Like Sugar?
Yes! There you go. Cool song. She likes the Psych Furs, Duran Duran, Tears for Fears, New Order, The Cars. God, I love the Psych Furs. I'm very happy for Depeche Mode getting the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame along with N.I.N. Yes, Drew Wave! I caught the one night only Michael Hutchins documentary film Mystify. Oh, I want to see that.
Yeah.
I want to see that movie.
I want to see that movie too.
Natalie. Side note, I read the new Flea memoir. Oh, Natalie, you're awful.
Let's just have Natalie host the show.
Peas in a pod, Natalie.
I want Natalie's playlist. I think that'd be fun, dude.
No, I want you two to kiss each other.
You can send a playlist, Natalie. Please, funny and charming, has some great stories. I have the book, so that just reminded me. Crank it!
She glides across the water. She calls for you.
You sound so tired.
She shares me life.
It's got a nice up.
No, I'm still sleeping.
What's up? There it is. This is
no energy. Energy person.
I feel like it's in a movie. Soundtrack, can you check, Trudy?
Yeah. Now, I did receive some emails regarding the piano intros. Somebody was wondering why this one wasn't on that list. And I don't know. I think it might have a drum first. So let me see if this is the right video.
Somebody's asking about Bruce Hornsby.
God damn it! This is the wrong video.
No, that's not a.
This one.
Napoleon Dynamite.
What's the Napoleon Dynamite one that's like do 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 do?
Oh, on the soundtrack.
Yeah, yeah. I can't find
Napoleon.
Bruce Hornsby does have some good piano intro, like The Way It Is. It's a really good one, I think. But I don't know. I don't think of Bruce Hornsby when I think of Best of
Us. That
I like Bruce.
50 First Dates, I think, where you heard that. Lips Like Sugar.
Oh, is that in 50 First Dates?
Yeah.
Son of a bitch.
Is this the one you were thinking
of? Yeah. Someone wanted this one. So. Or maybe it wasn't.
Hey, check out Dan, who was representing us at New Order's four-night residency at the Fillmore in Miami, and he's wearing our shirt.
Oh, I saw that. That's cool.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Yeah, I tweeted out the picture.
It's really cool.
I do like this.
Oh, Dan?
I dig this tune. So, yeah, Dan had had good things to say about the show. He said, Barney the Band. Oh, there we go.
Thank you, Dan.
What residency?
New Order in Miami. They did four nights. They got the key to the city, too, which Dan said was embarrassing because the mayor kind of babbled on. It's really awkward.
So you could do a residency anywhere, huh? You could just...
Yeah, just plunk in there and say, if you can sell tickets in that town, that's the problem. I mean, like Kid Rock can do a residency here.
Yeah.
Like Bob Seger could.
I kind of want to... Did you ever watch the New Order documentary?
I did watch some of it.
Did you like it?
Not really.
Okay.
It wasn't a history.
So that's why... Thank you.
You can't talk about New Order, not talk about Peter Hook, and not talk about... Joy Division.
They seem to hate anything that's Joy Division, Peter Hook, or even the first New Order and Blue Monday. So it's like, well, what are they playing at a residency?
You're absolutely right. For a long time, they wouldn't talk about
Blue Monday.
They wouldn't talk about New Order, and I mean the Joy Division. What's the singer's name? I'm spacing out here.
Ian
Curtis.
Curtis, yeah.
Ian Curtis was huge. I mean, he had if he had not vaulted Joy Division, although their sound was really unique, I don't think New Order ever gets off the ground. And Love Will Tear Us Apart was apparently just entering the charts when he killed himself.
Yeah.
And the story was they were going to America.
Oh no, that's the wrong one.
they had generated enough interest to go to America, and he was freaking out. He didn't think he'd handle it. He had epilepsy. And when he took the meds, he was kind of wiped out. When he didn't take the meds, he wasn't well.
He was a mess.
He was a real mess, yeah. And so he killed himself. And,
man.
And so Love Will Tear Us Apart, of course, tore up the charts. And it is one of the favorite songs in all of the UK.
So
if
it's
look at any list.
It's really interesting because when Hookie came to town, Peter Hook would play all those.
Yeah, he played. He did. He played quite a few.
So watching that documentary, I was a little bummed out. But now I'm looking at the set list for what they're playing down there. The encore.
They do play some Joy Division.
The encore closer is Atmosphere and Level Tears Apart, both Joy Division songs.
Pretty good.
They do She's Lost Control and Transmission as well. And they do Blue Monday, they do Temptation. I mean, they are playing the hits.
Well, Dan was pumped because, and I asked him too, I love Age of Consent by New Order. Also, I had to let the vocal go. You know, I didn't check it. Did they play Love Vigilante? I'm willing to
they
bet.
They do play Age of Consent.
Yeah, they opened with it.
Yeah.
He said Night 2 sounded more rock than Night 1, which is more dance. Again, four Joy Division songs. Three were different to the Joy Division songs played in Night 1. They played 18 songs, one more than the previous night. And then 30 minutes before the show, the mayor of Miami Beach came out, gave a speech, asked the band to come on stage, so he gave them a proclamation declaring a New Order Day.
Oh, Lord.
Bernard Sumner said the mayor sure talked a lot. It could be that I hadn't seen New Order live before. I was initially surprised by how powerful they sounded live, but One Night sounded better overall. The good Age of Consent, Joy Division song She's Lost Control, Transmission, although in Transmission, Barney kept getting feedback on the mic. Oh, bummer.
Well, do it live!
Touched by the End of God, Your Silent Face, Guilt is a Useless Emotion, Subculture, Fine Time. Wow, they didn't play. Well, those aren't the songs I would have generally picked.
I wonder what they did with the Key to the City or the Proclamation.
Oh, you know what they
did. Look at me. I'm looking for the trash can.
It's probably still sitting in it right now. They haven't even emptied it.
Oh, and there's the mayor on stage. the band.
What kind of mayor is he? Mayor, or is he like some old
he's,
dude?
No, he's wearing... I can't tell, but he's wearing a suit.
Mayor. He looks very mayorish.
Yeah.
This is Miami?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Here's the video I found of it.
Fuck that shit.
Great mayor.
That's a real mayor.
Let's see. Laura emailed in to say, I would have called this into the boner line, but I'm afraid someone would say my voice was separated at birth with Miss Mina. Aww. Here I am in the tight pants. I cannot subject myself to that because I'm already disgusted with myself.
In the tight pants. See how tight they are?
Why would she call in and do it just so we could and say, here I am in the tight pants, so we could determine how close it is? She said, I can't subject myself to that. I'm already disgusted with myself every time I hear my voice. Oh, no, every time she hears that, because I think it sounds like her. She thinks it sounds like her. Anyways, I always thought the stand drops were John Madden up until yesterday.
I know.
That's funny. Also want to say I resigned from the human race after I saw articles of impeachment were carried out. People walking in slow motion for pictures in Good Morning America stating it was a historic walk. I'm a longtime listener. Love you guys. I won't give any shit about Maz. Seems you're getting enough already. I'll certainly not leave the podcast because of it. Thanks for all the work you put in. Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.
let's see. Oh, I got a bunch of people calling in or writing in about Matt Farley doing songs for them. Amazing.
Can I play one thing, one message off the boner line?
Sure. Yeah.
Because I've also received a lot of emails and text messages from a lot of my friends who are extreme gearheads, just mechanical geniuses.
I know what this is going to be.
I know what it's going to be.
Let me get this straight. Drew says millennials are killing the car industry and muscle cars, the sports cars. But he believes that the C8 Corvette means 8 is the name because it has an 8-cylinder engine, a V8. Drew, it's the 8th generation Corvette. Last one was the C7. This is the C8. I'm 29 years old. I also drive a Corvette. Ooh.
Ooh.
And
ooh.
I know that. Come on, Drew.
Yeah. Well, my hope was that it was that they've never had a V6. And they did have a V6 back in the early 50s, apparently. But they have not had a V6, I believe, this person said, since 1955. And this is really one of the cool things about living here, is that you can bring up anything about cars, and you will get the answer to your question.
Yeah.
And people, I did get it.
People were mad. People were very angry.
I was outraged.
They could never make a pussy Corvette. Why would they do that?
No.
And apparently, I don't know, from someone that sent me a message, this is the one with the engine in the back.
Oh
yeah.
These guys were rip roaring. I guess they were.
Oh, this Corvette's in the back.
Someone was saying that they were doing like 120 and a 35.
Sweet.
Thanks for the podcast.
Oh.
Thank them for the podcast.
You don't know.
Joe, Hey, Drew, I'm certain you've seen this concert film. Just in case you want to watch it again, it's on Amazon Prime Video for free. I just watched it for the first time, and it's fantastic. Stop Making Sense, The Talking Heads. Oh, is that great? That might be the best.
Classic. That's the older one, right?
Yeah. From 83, I believe. Uh-huh. That's, I think a lot of people call that the best concert film ever.
Really?
Yeah. I never knew David Byrne was such a great live performer until I saw The Firm. The first song, Psycho Killer, was such an awesome version. Such your consideration be a cool way to kick off one of your shows. I agree. I love that
documentary
song.
Now did a great parody of Stop Making Sense too.
Oh, did they?
Bill Hader and what's the other guy's name? Fred Armisen.
Oh. Jonathan Demme.
Yeah, that's right.
Late Jonathan Demme.
Yeah. Did you see Stop Making Sense, Trudy?
No, I have not seen that.
You've not seen that?
No.
What?
I watch a lot of trashy TV just, you know, to kind of fall asleep to. So I try to save it for like a day when I can, you know, like Sunday was great for that Rush documentary.
Well, if you haven't squeezed it in the last 37 years, I'm not sure.
Who's playing Napoleon? Someone playing Napoleon?
What?
Someone's phone playing Napoleon.
Oh, is it upstairs? Yes. 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 Someone
it under Psycho Killer.
Wow, how did you hear that?
I don't know.
Man, you got rabbit ears like Denny.
Like Denny. Yeah, Denny's rabbit ears were in full effect today.
Yeah, anything I say upstairs, I'm subjected to Denny's rabbit ears and some smart-ass comment.
I ran upstairs to turn the heat down, and Drew always has donuts here. Mm. So I grabbed one and came down, and Denny very passively, aggressively told me to go get a donut for him. So you and I were laughing about it upstairs, and he got really mad. That we were laughing about the fact that he wanted a donut.
He's been drinking. You know when you go to the store and you grab a Red Bull, there's various sizes.
Yeah.
There's that monster, huge size. I don't know if it's 16 ounce or something. Just the really, really big Red Bull. Ooh. Denny McClain slams one of those every single morning. I don't know how he does it. I can't even drink one of those.
He was in his
I drink Red Bull every day.
He was in his element today because of the cheating scandal. So you had a lot of good comments on No Filter Sports.
Oh, on the
baseball cheating scandal.
That is, I'm amazed what a big deal that is.
It's a huge deal. And of course, right after it gets posted, Carlos Beltran got blown out by the Mets.
Oh, boy.
And the fun thing is turns out he's got a burner Twitter account where he's been defending himself. And now all this other stuff's coming out. Like Altuve with the Astros had a buzzer. Like he actually wore a buzzer on his shoulder.
Get the fuck out of here.
Major League Baseball's responded to the fact that, yeah, we heard that before. We checked it. And we found no evidence of that. But that's been apparently a really strong rumor that it's just blown up now in the public.
Oh, my God. A
couple other players were wearing buzzers, and the guy in the hall.
I love rumors.
Just buzzing whether or not it was breaking ball.
Tim wrote in about Rush. Like most young guys looking for an identity, I found myself wrapped up in Rush. After just one concert, I saw him in 81. I was 16, was the only one of my friends that had a license, so I drove the family truck and was hooked. Next day, I bought all their albums. I've seen them 40 times.
Wow. 40 times.
I traveled either myself or with my son, but in 1989, I got the surprise of a lifetime. Oh, what's this all about? At the time, I was hanging out with a friend that was hot, but a smoking hot friend. We sat side stage the whole time. The girls were talking to some guys with the band. After the show, Rush's manager, Ray Daniel, was hitting on the girls. The next thing I knew, we were backstage. Ray asked if we had any plans for the night. We ended up on a tour bus to the hotel, then to the bowling alley. When Rush plays two nights in the same town, they have a bowling night for the bands and crew.
That's cool.
All you can eat and drink, bottles of Dom Perignon, all kinds of beer, incredible. I did get a chance to talk to Getty and Alex, but just said hi to Neil, knowing how he feels about meeting strangers. But I did get a stick from Neil. I still have it.
Wow.
Bowling, the boys took us back to the palace to get my car. I got home just in time to take a shower and go to work and went to the second show that night.
Oh, my God. Wow.
How cool is that?
All up in you.
Boy, I tell you, it really helps to have hot chicks around sometimes.
You know, because he passed and bands are touring now, there all these tributes are starting to come out now. One was from Danny Carey, who's probably, I think he should be in top five drummers of all time, Tool's drummer.
Yeah.
And he did a big solo.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that one.
Yeah, he did a lot of, you know, a lot of Rush songs in his solo, which is all just a drum anyway.
Are you working your way to the other
What was tribute? There was another tribute?
Yeah, the theme of this week.
Sticks.
What, seriously?
Yeah, Sticks did a Rush tribute. One. They did.
Oh, Lord. Lord.
They were talking about it, and the funny thing was, I think the guy that was talking about it is a Styx member that is not original, because I was like, who's that? I didn't realize he was in Styx.
Styx trying to be cool by they're trying to change their brand.
I know. Did they?
If that's the case,
was their
just
heart
Renegade.
Really in that tribute? That's what I want to know.
No.
Oh, there's Danny Carey. Not the greatest quality, but he's good.
Yeah, that's great.
Drew's at the bathroom.
I'm not big into drum solos, I got to tell you.
His are pretty good, though.
Yeah, really good.
Well, Pert, I mean, I know he's a...
No, I mean,
I get
the Tool.
Watch out for
Styx. Yeah, no, he's great. Well, he's doing a tribute.
Yeah, boy.
War alive, let's live together.
Oh, of course it's on the organ. It's like elevator music.
To pussify it.
I can do that.
Oh, knock it off.
Already?
Oh, awful.
Jason wrote in about Pete Davidson. I think we all know the reason Pete Davidson keeps getting dumped by these hot chicks. It's not the obvious, and it is completely butt ugly. It's something we're all afraid to say because of political correctness. Being with somebody, being with somebody who's bipolar sucks. I know from experience.
People get medicated.
Yeah, they do. But I don't. You know, it sounds like he goes on and off his medication, which is not uncommon because people go, "I feel fine. I don't need to take this stuff. I don't like being on all these things."
It's not good.
But you know, I got to tell you, I just have so many problems with him. He seems to think he's the arbiter of everything, you know, of what you can make fun of, what you can't make fun of. And it's always all about him. Aaron Hernandez talk. I'm listening to a podcast. I wonder if the way Aaron thinks of himself as the pitcher and not the catcher, like Andy Dick said in your interview. I've heard other people talk about that. And it seems like they don't think of themselves as gay because they just give
it. It.
Yeah.
Are you the main guy or are you the one who gets it?
That's interesting. Okay, Jason. I'm a few shows behind, catching up here. All these people pounding lumps on you regarding the Maz thing. Show's 100% better without Maz. He seems like a nice guy, but he was very basic. He'd throw the entire flow of the show off. His simplest... okay. I want to rip Maz. let's see. So don't be so hard on yourself, gang, for being cold-hearted to make the show better. I think it was the right choice. Okay, thank you. I guess. Sitting here listening to yesterday's podcast, looking at the show picture with Aaron Hernandez court picture, and I'm like, what the heck is Charles Nelson Reilly doing there? Oh, it's Drew! Chuckster gobbled together a pretty good career doing Match Game in Hollywood Squares. Charles Nelson Reilly! I thought you guys used the picture I sent along with the email to create that image. Oh, that's funny. There's a picture.
This one here, up top?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That is a good separated at birth.
That's pretty funny.
Well, the picture that we posted
Charles Riley!
Our January 15th episode, it seems the filters we used maybe did age you by 90.
A little bit, yeah.
90 or so years.
Why would I need to be aged in a picture with
I think it was
Ron Hernandez?
No, it was just
supposed
a,
to look like a reporter, court reporter.
Oh, okay.
What's it called? A sketch artist.
Which I know a lot of people are just wailing through Aaron Hernandez. I was kind of glad we got Dan on Monday because people will watch it over the weekend, I assume, and maybe it'll make for a better conversation.
Watch it.
But it was. Did you see it, Brandon?
I couldn't take my eyes off it. Once I started it here, I needed to go home and watch the last two parts.
There were a couple things that, to me, rose above everything else, and they really get into everything. But the call with his – we played it on the air – yesterday, the call with his fiance, where he says, "What's all the attitude?" Because she said she's been dealing with search warrants all day, and she's like, "Attitude? Well, because it's you. This is about you." And he's like, "Well, if you're gonna be like that, then you know, if you're not gonna let me talk to my daughter, I'll just call back." Just a complete asshole. And then with his mother, and I think this got was this in part three where he's blaming her.
Yes, it was part three.
Yeah, he said, do you think I was really going to turn out to be a perfect angel? you know, when you fucked my life up. And all I could think of was that if I had murdered three people, and this is the problem, is when you insert your brain into an
abnormal
brain.
You wouldn't murder three people.
You wouldn't murder three people. But if I murdered three people, I would feel so sorry for my mom. I'd be apologizing. Oh, Mom, I'm sorry I got in all this shit. I'd feel terrible. But he is blaming her. It's her fault.
How could she do that to him after he showed up at Aaron Hernandez Day, where she teaches at school? No. It was kind of funny how, well, not funny, but good how they juxtaposed.
That was
Aaron Hernandez Day at his mom, because his mom's a teacher at her school
with the, call.
The Super Bowl with the call. What an asshole he is!
And
do you think he was bipolar, or is he just narcissistic?
I don't know,
psychopath.
I don't know bipolar people that go and kill people.
I think more than anything, I think he's just a big pussy. I really do.
Somebody wrote in. I didn't even get to the other half of the
emails. Wetzel points out that everybody he killed was someone who had no power over him, and they were all surprise-type murders. Because he wouldn't fight. He goes for the gun.
He would stare at people, and like, in his mind, he's thinking, I have to kill this person. I have to kill this person.
I have to say this about the two guys he killed at the stoplight. It really made me mad that the guy from the Casey Anthony case, Jose Baez,
yeah,
who's a really good lawyer, that he represented Aaron Hernandez. He just couldn't wait to get in there and turn this witness, who was driving that night, into the killer, and, of course, point out all the shitty things he's done. Because, you know, when shitty people hang out with each other, or, you know, when people like Aaron Hernandez are doing shitty things, they're generally hanging around shitty people.
Yeah, the company you keep.
And this is a guy he shot in the face and left for dead in Florida, and he lost his eye.
How did he survive, by the way? Not only how did he survive from a point-blank shot to the face, not only did he survive, but he's talking that night. The next morning, he's calling and saying, hey, Aaron, it's me.
I love it.
That's insane.
I love it.
Imagine that shooting somebody in the face and then leaving, and then they call you the next morning. Holy shit.
And he wouldn't give him up to the cops because he wanted to murder Aaron Hernandez.
Yep. He's not a snitch. He just wants revenge.
And that's why Aaron Hernandez kept going to the Patriots and saying, you know, I think I need a new place to play. You know, maybe I should play out west or something, because he was in fear of this guy who was from that area and could pop in any time at practice or anywhere outside the locker room, a parking lot.
I'm glad he didn't murder Aaron Hernandez, though, because would we know all this stuff, or would it just be this football player ends up dead?
I don't know.
It as a hero.
He was fortunate in that he left him for dead at 5 in the morning, and people started coming to work and found him. I think that's what happened. And so he survived, but here he is testifying with one eye, and he looks face kind of messed up. And this attorney, Jose Baez, is just beating the shit out of him because he didn't identify Aaron Hernandez as the killer, he must be a big fat liar and he's making this up. And they essentially tried to say that he shot the two people.
Yeah.
He must have shot him, not Aaron.
Yeah.
And I was so pissed that, they would dare. Oh, that was a great victory. What a great victory. He was found not guilty. No, that was not a great victory. It didn't make anyone happy. These two guys who were immigrants, who were fighting to make a living in America and, had families. That's the smallest thing they deserved, was for him to at least be found guilty. But no, the wonderful Jose Baez got him off.
I liked Odin Lloyd's friend, too, the guy with the long hair. I think his name was Mike.
Oh, Massey. Yeah. He was great.
He was really
good.
One exception to the thing he said was that the neighborhood they were from, like, it was a Dorchester. I don't know. He named, like, three neighborhoods they were from. He said Aaron Hernandez was nothing in that neighborhood. We all looked up to Odin Lloyd. I'm sitting there, really? The whole neighborhood? Nobody was a Patriot fan? Nitpicking.
And one thing about Alexander Bradley.
The guy who was shot in eye.
I never knew which eye was the bad eye.
It's the left eye.
Are
you sure?
I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Wait, he looks all right, though. For
Wait a minute,
he
looks great.
This eye?
Wow.
No, his left.
His left.
Yeah.
And you said Aaron Hernandez is a bad shot. He shot him right between the eyes, Mark. It's a pretty good shot. But how did you survive that?
You know what was the
bad shot?
The problem.
It goes right between your brain lobes.
The problem with the case. Back.
When I was at year.
Was that he was bumped by this guy on the dance floor. He spilled part of his drink. He was really pissed. And this is not entirely unusual for him. You know, he was really mad at Odin Lloyd. No, not Odin Lloyd. Who's the guy he shot in Florida?
Alexander Bradley.
Alexander Bradley. Because he wanted to go back to the strip club and get his phone.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
When they drove away from the strip club. Yeah. And Aaron wouldn't go back, which is like, what? Yeah. An asshole. And he ends up, they have a dispute. He falls asleep. He shoots him in the face while he's sleeping in the truck.
Yeah, great guy.
And just dumps him out the car. But for this guy who knows he murdered these people to get his ass torn up on the stand and suggestion that he did it, I just thought, you know, that makes me sick. It fucking makes me sick. Sometimes the legal system drives me crazy.
You know, they got into
Jose Baez. Ooh, aren't you wonderful? And now we're going to get the appeal, and we're getting him off the first one.
Yeah.
But anyway, the real problem with that case was the motive was weak.
Yeah.
The guy bumped him on the dance floor. But, you know, we can't help it if he was a fucking nutcase. Mm-hmm. He was. Mm-hmm. He was.
That's the motive. He's a nutcase.
Yeah. But apparently the jury wants more. They want something more specific.
How wild, too, the detectives are looking at all the security footage like, oh, wow, what a weird coincidence. Aaron Hernandez of the New England Patriots was at the bar that night.
I know. That was funny.
I mean, because who would have thought a guy that has all that would be a murderer?
Yeah.
You know, they got into his boyfriend. You know, they talked to the boyfriend a lot, his quarterback.
Yeah, and his dad.
And they talked. Yeah, that was kind of really kind of sad, his dad. Yeah. I kind of liked his dad. But
yeah, I liked them. They were both okay.
Remember, that all originally broke because of the jailhouse boyfriend, who's a different guy.
Golly, like, what a homo.
And there was never, they never followed
That's
up on
that. That's the quarterback, who is gay.
Was Aaron getting it on with that inmate, or was that all just a lie?
I think it was true. They just didn't want to. Okay. You know, I want to talk to Dan Wetzel about this because I thought this is so weird. I think they went out of their way to not say that he was gay and that they had a relationship in prison out of respect for him. In other words, not outing him in that way.
Oh, I don't think
they made
so.
Michelle McPhee look really bad.
Oh, yeah, the reporter, because they brought it up on the morning show on WEEI.
Yeah, yeah.
And honestly, you know what? They made a couple stupid, cheesy jokes about
offended.
Him being a tight end off the field, and I thought that was dumb.
I was offended that they used the very easy, dumb joke that's been told for years.
But they also, they suggest, I mean, it's considered, did outing him, okay, he's in prison for murder for the rest of his life, although Jose Baez will probably get him off, or, you know, he seems to think so. He talks about being free all the time, you know, which makes me sick. But because everyone kissed his ass and everyone did everything for Aaron his entire life, he probably did think he was going to be free because I get whatever I want, whenever I want it.
He had money.
Why'd he kill himself then?
I think because he was outed.
It suggested that, you know, these guys outing him on the radio, maybe he couldn't stand that. Of course, you know, normally he just kills people when he's mad, but he just couldn't bear to be outed.
But the abatement.
The abatement doesn't matter, though, because as Dan pointed out, they're not going to get any money from that.
But in his mind, he didn't know that. And in the notes he left behind, it suggests abatement.
You're going to be rich. He did say you're going to be rich to his wife because when you kill yourself and your case is under appeal, it's dropped. The conviction is dropped in Massachusetts. They've now changed the law. Is that Aaron's law?
Then why didn't he do it earlier?
Because he wasn't an appeal yet. And if he would have been convicted for the double murders,
if he's dead though, they couldn't.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So if he gets acquitted of the second trial, then he can join the appeal. And then when he's abated, everything's free. He has no criminal record.
You're giving him too much credit.
So he strategized.
I don't think he's that smart. I think he's just very simple. And didn't want to. What's the worst thing that could have happened to Aaron Hernandez?
Dean didn't kill himself.
He could have been outed. Yeah, I know.
Maybe
he was murdered. I mean, it's pretty similar to Epstein. So maybe Aaron Hernandez was murdered.
Were there any cameras?
No,
there weren't. Prison?
There weren't.
No, but he did in his own blood put John 3:16 on his forehead, Tebow style.
That's
almost
what the murderer would have done.
And he had the Bible opened up to John 3:16.
Perfect crime. Murderer could have done that.
True.
He could only remember the one that Tim Tebow's always saying.
By the way, did you, I'm sure you probably caught this part, when he's talking to, I think it's a friend of his, and he's talking about being free, and he says something like, man, I don't know what I'll do, I'll probably go wild. And the guy's like, I think you got to keep a lower probe.
Yeah.
I think you got to lay low,
his
you know, if you get
assistant.
out. Yeah, and he and they. Oh, of course, he's making jokes about a Smith and Wesson endorsement. Oh, that's so funny.
What an idiot.
I know.
I'm glad he's dead.
So today I was reading about Bradley Whitford, who is, you know, people are still pounding on Stephen King for this tweet where he said, you know, when it comes to voting for Oscars, I pick the best movies. I don't consider inclusiveness. And people just can't handle this. People who are PC, and this is what I hate about political correctness, is, oh, I guess you're not allowed to have your own opinion. You have to have the right opinion or you're wrong. It's not, you know, hey, he's entitled to his opinion, but here's how I feel. It's, no, he's wrong, and that's his white privilege.
Huh.
Well, he's a very liberal guy.
Yeah.
And all he was saying was, I can't bring myself to vote for movies I don't think are good enough. I have to vote for the best movies. I don't really think about who's in them. He didn't say, you know, I vote for the movies with the white people in them. But how is that his white privilege? Give me a break. I mean, I'm just so tired of these buzzwords and you know, and that's really my biggest problem with political correctness. I mean, if I had to say what is my problem with it, it's that you can't think for yourself. It tells you how you're assigned to think. You have to think that, you know, a movie's inclusiveness is part of its appeal and why you would vote for it. No, that's not, everybody's not going to think the same way. They're never going to all think the same way. And so people that adopt this, to me, it's almost like a cult.
Groupthink.
Yeah. It's, you know, you're not thinking for yourself. And that doesn't mean everything that people think about political correctness is wrong. Some of it's probably good. But it's just the idea that if you don't think this way, you're wrong. And in many cases, you're horrible and you should be canceled. Because Stephen King, of all people, you know, to chew up in this thing, it's absurd. And what he said is not an unusual way of thinking. In fact, you know, he could just vote for his friends. And his friends, I don't know what his friends look like. They're probably white. But he just was making the point because, honestly, it almost seems like it's coming to ninth place ribbons where we have to get everybody an award. And if everybody's going to complain every year and be angry at the people nominated, then I don't know who's served by the awards. Why don't they just throw the awards out?
Yeah. Well, they can never do that.
And by the way, it seems like everyone does win an award because there's so many awards.
Yeah.
But this Bradley Whitford was on TMZ today, and I just thought he was such an asshole.
Did he? Is this one of those things where he came on, or did they catch him at an airport?
Bradley Whitford from Billy Madison?
Oh, I think he spoke out, didn't he?
Well, that's what I was wondering, because...
Well, played it at 19 after 4 o'clock, he talked.
Because that would suck, you know, if you're at an airport and they're questioning you, and you're just like, what? What are you talking about? What? I don't want to comment on that.
And, you know, on to political correctness, it's interesting to me that... and they had a story today about this Christian school, Whitfield Academy, where they expelled this kid because she made a social media post. She had a rainbow cake for her birthday.
Sounds delicious.
And she was wearing a matching sweater, and the implication was that she's, you know, she's gay-friendly, I guess.
Cakes and pies, cakes and pies.
Anyway, they expelled her.
Huh.
And
for a social media post?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm thinking, you know, why? I don't understand, because political correctness, this thing that we all must think the same, I don't know why it makes exceptions. Why is it that religious activity is somehow spared political correctness?
Yep, always.
What is that?
Yeah.
Why?
Especially one where you're supposed to love everybody. I've never understood that.
Didn't she just say, hey, the rainbow's in the Bible after Noah's Ark? It was something biblical?
Zing.
Ooh.
Mic drop.
But the a lot of these schools, you know, and the religions themselves, they have this huge tax advantage too, and yet they discriminate against swaths of society.
Yep.
And, you know, if it's in the name of religion, that's okay.
That's all the post
is. Ridiculous.
That right there. There was nothing written with it.
You know, they show him.
That's it.
Where's the audio?
She's not doing anything.
Who are you talking about? Oh, her. Picture, no, she's not doing anything.
No, it's just a picture of her 15th birthday. She's got a rainbow cake and a rainbow shirt.
Please tell me there's more to the story than just
No, there's really not.
Really?
She's well, they did say she's been in trouble before.
With doing what?
The really minor stuff. I mean, it's a really dumb story. But play the TMZ thing. We got to get out of here.
She violated the code of conduct.
We got Bradley Woodford out. You know, the
West Wing.
West Wing and a lot of other things. And he did something we don't frequently hear from celebrities, did not shy away from taking on, challenging another celebrity, a huge name in Hollywood, Stephen King. You may have heard about this, that Stephen King tweeted about when the Oscar nominations came out, there were a lot of people upset about the lack of diversity, and he said, look, I base my vote, and he is a voting member, on the quality of the product, not about diversity. He says it doesn't come into consideration for him. A lot of people got all over him and said, look, diversity matters, it's very important online. So we asked Bradley Whitford about this.
It doesn't have anything to do with quality!
And he basically said that Stephen King's approach, kind of ignorant.
I think he's expressing his ignorance of the fact that a very limited number of people have had opportunities for a long, long time.
So they should automatically win.
And I think it reveals that he's kind of not conscious of that. I would just like him to think about the opportunities that
Dreamweaver!
White men have been given that other people have not, that we can really easily take for granted.
I want to say something. You know what he's talking about.
Okay, you can hit the outro, Brandon.
Well, Dr. Phil ism.
Oh my God, that was terrible. Another all that noise
Slow
behind
down.
Too.
Yeah.
But Steve, you know, Stephen King, it's funny how Stephen King is now all these things. He's this, he's that, he's white privileged. Stephen King is a really hardcore liberal. He's a never Trump guy.
I was outraged.
You know, by the way, if you considered movies only in regard to inclusivity, wouldn't, what's the movie, the black superhero movie?
Oh,
it did
Black
so
Panther.
Well. Well, Black Panther, is that a diverse movie?
Well, in the scope of Hollywood, I think they would say yeah, but I know inside the film, no.
I don't know. I thought it was mostly not white people in the movie.
That's true. There's only two white people in the movie, but
yeah, I watched it. But I didn't think it was any better or worse
of the
for
setting,
that.
And right, I understand that.
Okay, but by Bradley Whitford's way of thinking, that movie isn't diverse, so it wouldn't do as well. Well, I guess he would vote for
He's
it.
He's looking at the larger
I
picture.
I don't know what he thinks. But anyway, to castigate Stephen King for being so for not thinking the same thing that he's supposed to think, you know, I don't know when we're going to let people
really,
think
I really
what they're going
like,
to think.
I really feel like they were talking about two totally different things.
Yeah,
I just think people did not
voting.
Like what Stephen King said. They just didn't like it, and they decided that it's wrong. Not, I have a difference of opinion. He's wrong. And here's why, because of this, and that's my whole problem with political correctness, is it doesn't allow for anyone to think.
Interesting.
Thank you. Everybody have a great weekend.
Great.
And the lock of the week, Kansas City. Big football games. Enjoy your holiday, everybody. It's MLK Day Monday. See ya!
I'm going to do what I can. It looks like I'm going to have to go there early in the day tomorrow and see what I can do with this consulate deal and find out how quick I can get over there. So
hopefully the person at the embassy will be a woman and you could probably f*** your way in. Do whatever it takes, Peter. Use your charm, and if you do get her, just f*** your way in.
Have a seat, Mr. North. I've been expecting you.
Just wondering if I could, how long it would take to get a visa to get in the Czech Republic.
You need to fill out these documents, and it's going to take you 5 to 6 days to get a visa to Czech Republic.
5 to 6 days?
Mm-hmm.
Is there any way, like, of speeding that up? I mean, I would do anything to speed it up.
Like, what do you have in your mind?
Well, it's like more like what I have in my pants. And, why don't you come around here?
Interesting. And I will spank my butthole a little bit.